evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den.
Just looking at the text.
You just scolded me.
No, because that has to do with the show.
What was doing with the show?
No, it's one of the affiliates. Because we were let me introduce the show, and then, you know, we'll get to what was going on. Good evening, everybody. You're listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than Lousy Tech, or A Bitter Divorce. Oh, they got him now. Yay! If you wish to call in, the number is 845-986-8804, 845-986-8804. If you want to join our chat room, the Den Pen, simply go to davinsden.com and click chat and listen live. If you're listening to one of our great radio affiliates, simply minimize the station, open up a new tab, go to davincomedy.com, davincomedy.com, go to the Davin's Den page and click the chat and go link. I'm your host, Davin Rosemont, and I'm joined by Joe Curry.
Good evening. How is everybody doing?
Well, you and I are well. Pip is out again.
Under the weather again.
Under the weather. The weather owns her.
Yes.
I think our broadcasting equipment and Pip go to hang out in the same place because they always get ill. we were all set to go on, and then as usual, things crap out on me.
Yes.
What?
Things took a turn for the worse, but we got everything back up, right?
Well, everything
it's
is back.
Not too bad. It's 6:33. It was 2 minutes. It's not even. I mean, I have a 3-hour show. That's not a big deal.
No, you're right. But I had everything set up, and now I'm going to be doing a lot of the production on the run, which I don't really like to do. But that's okay.
Yeah, we're both doing a lot of multitasking tonight.
Yes, that's not good for anybody. There's only one of us who's not doing multitasking. That's Pip Helix, and she's sleeping.
Yes, in the Den Pen. Please bear with me. I'm just, you know, I'm filling in tonight, so I will do the best I can to interact with you folks. That are so kind of us to join us.
It's always harder to interact with the Den Pen when there's two people on the show as opposed to three. Our faithful fans understand that. Your main responsibility is to entertain them on the radio. Anything you could do in the chat room is just an extra bonus, Joe.
That's true.
Yes. As Joe actually physically went from looking at his computer to moving his mouth to the microphone.
I'm sorry.
You want me to duct tape the mic to you?
We could. I wish I had a lavalier like we used to have at the compound. That would be nice.
Yeah, those didn't always work, though, either. He went from lavalier to the mics that were used.
We always wind up using mics again anyway, so to make it
much like at the compound, which was a much more expensive and elaborate system, right before showtime, everything went to crap.
I used to tell you that all the time.
It made me feel no better then than it does now.
Well, we're just about to go on. It's nothing's funny then.
All right, we got a very big show for you.
Yes, we most certainly do.
Tonight's show, we'll be doing our annual Valentine's Day Love Fail Countdown, where we will try to determine the three biggest love fails of the year. So I have three stories. Joe has three stories.
Yes.
I actually have three stories from Pip Helix. So we will try to weigh them all out and see what the ultimate three love fails are. Always a good time with that. And tonight, we're going to break some national news, Joe.
Yes, we are.
This is the type of thing that if anybody in the media were listening, this is the type of thing they would go, well, this seems like a story we should talk about. I'm going to say this is much bigger than Chris Christie's Bridgegate scandal.
It is.
This is a much more great import. Listen, I love Fort Lee. It's a lovely town in Bergen County, New Jersey. It's a shame those people couldn't get to the bridge and the kids were stuck on the school bus. But what we are going to report tonight, you should be much more disturbed about.
Yes.
I will give you a little hint. I might have to move to Canada when this is done.
Which means it's good news. So.
It's good news. You're a mean individual. Hey. Funny, but mean. Hey, like I will have to say in Canada.
Yes.
Okay, let's see what else we got. This is like everything that we got our little fingers in tonight. Well, not her, but everything we got our little fingers in. There's an update on the Juliana Avalos versus March Match.com case. Dare I say, this little show influencing things.
Most certainly did.
Sometimes it's not good to be rude to the Den.
No, it's not.
It doesn't.
And hang up and yell and say, you haven't heard the last of me, have we?
And dare I say, call out. On various websites also.
Yes.
Some good stuff for us tonight.
Yes, absolutely.
Tomorrow we move, but tonight, good stuff. So I'm hanging out with the wife on Saturday night and everything. And we're in the mall. And she goes, wow, things have changed. I go, yeah, we're older now. She goes, no, these kids, like these high school kids, they're openly gay and holding hands now. And every, Joe, we need you to. I know there's a very exciting thing on the, in the chat room. Are they? Can they hear?
No, that's what I'm working on.
Yeah. Well, every stream is up. I don't know why they couldn't be able to hear. I will.
Well, it might be resolving itself. I'm just checking in. That's why I'm preoccupied.
Well, there is a little bit of a delay there. I understand why you're preoccupied. There is a little bit of delay. All of our streams, except for the one, which we usually have issues with, is up. So I don't see why that would be an issue. I have not gotten a frantic text from the Indy Authority, so that is a good sign.
All right, it looks like they're getting sound now. You know, the funny thing about this is that how important each member of the show is to the show. This is stuff that you don't – I mean, you can see our rhythm is a little bit off because I'm trying to – work the chat and just work out the problems. This is what Pip does so seamless, really seamless, you know, where I'm just working, you know, with Davin, working off of Davin and stuff like that. But it really is a testament to her because, you know, if one little thing goes wrong, you try to address it and then work in the mic and then try to work with you. It looks like we got the sound back, so that's good.
I didn't know we lost it.
Well, we did for a little bit, so that's why I was preoccupied on there.
Was that on our station or...? Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. As long as it's back, that's fine.
Like I said, I wasn't getting frantic messages from the Indy Authority. You're down. Because I know Diva Donnie listens.
Mm. Yes.
And he gives me information like right. When we're down. So anyway, so I'm at the mall and the wife is like, these high school kids, they're openly gay now. I guess she'd seen like a couple of like gay kids. I guess they were gay. There were two guys holding hands. Mm. I mean, I know we're friends here, but I don't think straight guys do that.
No, I have never been inclined.
Oh, come on now, Joe.
To hold your hand.
Now, Joe, you know my hands are very soft.
They're like flippers.
They're not like flippers. That's rude. What are you talking about? They're like flippers.
You got flipper hands.
I am not. I do not have flipper hands. I am the one who has the flipper hands.
I'm the one who has the flipper hands.
Davin does not have the flipper hands. He does not even have hands. No, my hands are very soft and soft.
At least I am that. The ones I have is in a sling.
But I was thinking about how much it's evolved because when I was in school, when I was in high school, there were kids we were suspected were gay.
Yes.
But they dated girls.
Or they just... You know, you knew.
Yeah, they were the goth kids.
Well, that was a little goth was a little bit before my time, but you know, you knew that they were the guys that you knew that.
But they dated girls.
Yeah, they hung out with chicks. They didn't. They made no indication they were looking for guys.
They dated girls, and the girls would complain, "He's not putting out."
Yeah.
So, and the way they couldn't play sports and everything and the effeminate qualities, you kind of knew.
Yeah. Do you want to know something? One time there was a bunch, when I used to hang out with a bunch of people in my 20s, they were these guys, I guess because I was shy, and we went through the whole analysis thing 2 weeks ago. But one girl
Get on the couch.
Yeah, but one girl goes to me, are you gay? I'm like, are you kidding me? No.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Why'd you think you were gay? You don't strike me as gay.
Because I, in like the group of, I, for some reason, like I didn't, I was very shy.
Yeah, but shy doesn't equal gay.
Well, no, but the, I.
Were you good at sports?
No, I was
that
horrible.
Equals gay.
But I was, you know, I was goofing around and stuff like that, and I didn't take anything seriously.
Were you well dressed?
No, oh God, no.
Were you into U2?
No.
Okay, because that was usually the things. Well, no, I mean, it's not right. It's not right, but I mean, we were into manly bands like Cinderella and Poison.
Yeah. Men that went out there with scarves and shirts.
And spandex and makeup and high hair. What a
just
man
like
should
men.
Do. Exactly, real men.
Yes.
Because that's what we were into. And then you had these softer bands like U2, which seemed more sensitive and whatnot.
Well, U2 was the most masculine out of those bands.
All right, fine. The Cure.
Okay, now I'm on board. Have you seen that Robert Smith now?
No.
He looks like an ugly bitch. I mean, he looks horrendous. I mean, Jesus Christ, you're a middle-aged man. You look like you didn't give a shit going to a Halloween party, you know? He looks ridiculous. It gets to a point. Him and Michael Monroe. It gets to a point.
Who's Michael Monroe?
He was... He was a glam guy. I forgot what glam
band
he was.
Was he a guitarist or something?
No, I think he was a lead singer. But it gets to a point when you get to your 50s and stuff like that, and you're when you were younger, you dressed like effeminate and stuff like that. You look like an old hag.
Well, I mean, Steven Tyler does that. He's still got the scarves and prances around. But he gets so much tang, it doesn't matter.
He never made the illusion that he was trying to look like a chick. I mean, it was just...
You shop at Mandy's.
I know. I understand. I understand that. Now, this is from a guy who runs around in a dress, but I know I'm an ugly bitch.
Yeah, you never strike me as a guy dressing a girl who's trying.
That's right, exactly. I just go for the whole ridiculousness.
And you, and you achieve.
I achieve in spades.
But like when you were in school, at least when I was in school, in my generation, they weren't good at sports. They wore cardigan sweaters, very well dressed, kind of effeminate, and were into the more sensitive bands. Or liked Madonna. Madonna was a big one.
Right.
And, you know, like, I remember we called one of them, who was dating a girl who my girlfriend was, like, best friends with, but we called him Blaine, which wasn't very nice. Because that wasn't his name. His name was Michael.
But she called him Blaine?
Yes.
What, Chad wasn't available?
Well, Chad could be, like, an athletic type of guy. Yeah. Like, Blaine, it's hard to be a masculine Blaine.
Yeah, that's true.
So we called him Blaine.
Blaine, that's funny.
But it was a dickish thing to do. It was not cool. So you had these kids that were, like, obviously gay, although we didn't know what obviously gay was. We just had guesses, who had to pretend. And then years later, they come out, and they're proud, and they're gay, and it's great and everything. I think it's actually better for society that these kids in high school are recognizing their sexuality and are comfortable enough to walk around in the mall holding hands.
I think we've grown as a society where it's more accepted. And yeah, it would make it's better when they're you know, they're not hiding anything, and they're taught not to repress it and be ashamed of it.
Right.
But if that's the way you are, be that and be proud of it.
I wonder if they get bullied for it. I wonder if they're just that so self confident that even with the bullying, they can do that. Or maybe they're traveling to a mall where nobody knows them.
I think that it's nowadays. The tolerance with being bullied for that. There's a lot less of it, which is a good thing. I mean, you know, it's a good thing.
Listen, I think for every kid that we have who's well-adjusted and happy means one less chance of a school shooting. You know, that's what I think.
You want to know something, why I'm silent? Yeah.
So
it's not like even a dick joke I can make or something like that. It's true.
You know what? If wearing scarves and makeup and listening to Lady Gaga means 20 kids aren't going to get shot, do it.
Well, 20 kids aren't going to kill themselves, and 20 kids aren't going to kill somebody.
So it is very interesting, and it just sparked it made me think, because then of course we had with the Olympics going on. So talk into the microphone.
I'm trying to do two things. Liza says that unless you live in Sochi,
right? That's what I was going to bring up. Sochi.
That's
how it's so uninterested in the Olympics. You are. You don't even know how they're describing.
No, I was interested. I was watching bobsledding on Saturday.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Big bullet going down a tunnel.
That's cool. That shit.
Sure. If it's a penis. Anyway. Is there any more gay sport than, like, the luge, two guys in tight spandex laying on top of each? Here, ooh, your nuts are lumpy. Let me rest my head on them.
All righty. Let's say we're at the luge track, right?
I don't want to go to the luge track.
Let's say we're there.
What?
You're the luge track.
Am I a fan or am I a loser?
You're going to luge, all right? We're inviting you to luge.
I'm one of the biggest losers around.
We know that. But you're on there, right? And you're going to
Am I top or bottom luge?
But let's – you're
I need to
top,
know.
Top luge.
I'm top luge.
All right. But when you're on that on the top of the luge track,
yeah.
And you go, all right, listen, here's the deal. You're going to get on this little piece of plastic, and you're going to plummet 80 miles an hour going on curves down this mountain. Suddenly, it's not a faggy sport anymore.
Joe, if bad choices made you a macho man, you'd be the Fonz.
Hey.
No, I'm not saying these guys are gay. I don't know if they're gay or not. Just like I don't know if a figure skater's gay. Because if you think about it, a figure skater's got the best view in the joint. He's got the hot chick above
you
his head, and he's looking up.
If you're a guy and you're on skates out on the ice and you're not holding a hockey stick, you're gay.
No, but why? Why? All right, I can be a guy hanging out with nine other dudes, smacking each other around, throwing a rubber cylinder and knocking each other in the face. Or I could be holding up this really hot light chick and looking up her skirt and have her ass in the palm of my hand.
Yeah,
who's the gay guy?
Well, the gay guy is the guy if he's doing that and he's thinking of Bruce. You know?
Jenner?
Yeah. He looks more like a woman. I don't think that's cheating.
If you do Bruce Jenner, you're still straight. Now you heard it here on the Den. No, but I mean, you could argue. I mean, these guys are athletes, sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, you could argue.
Well, sort of. They're very.
I mean, they build up these relationships with the women and everything. You could argue that they're the smarter ones.
Maybe.
You're not going to argue that.
It's... The statistics show.
Oh, here we go. Here comes some made-up numbers.
No.
My statistics show means things he might have heard someplace.
No, you never hear you never talk to an Olympic guy skater and go, yeah, that was a good run. We made a couple of spins.
Well, that's because he's wearing the tight pants and his balls are all smushed up against his legs. It's hard to talk about.
I tell you, the Broadley saddled me up where she's all right. I tell you, I take a peek up there. I look at the hoof. But, you know, not for nothing. I'm busy spinning around.
That would be awesome. That would be the best figure skating interview ever. All of a sudden, dudes be like, you know what? I want to skate. Toe pick.
Yeah, you know, I ain't gay or nothing. You know, not for nothing. I'll take a peek at the hoof once in a while I'm spinning her around. Yeah.
The hoof. Is there any more degrading way to destroy? Not only are you portraying a heterosexual man, you're playing a heterosexual Neanderthal man.
I'll take a peek at the hoof. What the hell?
All right, you're not supposed to be fisting her while she's above your head, Joe. It's still
they take a point off for that.
I'm just saying maybe they're the smart ones. But there was the whole big scandal in Sochi, you know, where, you know, Russia was anti-gay. And again, how are you going to have figure skating if you're anti-gay?
You can't.
I mean, really.
It's like if you had pool clipping. You can't do that.
Only people watching figure skating are the Hausfraus and the gay guys.
Yes.
I mean, even like a lot of the women are watching the hockey.
I'll tell you one thing. It used to be funny when I was a kid. I was big, and all my friends were major league in a motocross. And there really was no cable TV. There was no internet or anything like that. So the only the way to watch motocross was on the Wide, Wide World of Sports. Now, that show had motocross and a whole lot more.
And a whole lot more.
So they would always put figure skating in front of motocross. And there we all are in our army jackets and our Fox Racing hats watching figure skating, waiting for the motocross to come on. It was ridiculous.
You got dressed up.
Oh.
You got dressed up to watch TV. That's what I took out of that story.
No, we wore that stuff anyway, you know? Our Fox Shock.
Were you guys like a gang of nasty boys?
No, we were...
Like when you walk down an alley, did you walk all the way across, not one behind the other, but just so you could look intimidating and fan out?
No, because we look like dicks, and we wouldn't do that. We were cool. We were the cool guys. Sure, the cool guys are here.
You were so cool, you didn't have to intimidate.
That's it.
Oh, wow. Well, I was not aware. And now look at you.
Yeah, no.
And then you have...
I couldn't intimidate a male figure skater.
Sure you could. And then you have this, the story that just came out yesterday about the football player... who came out and said who's going to be like the first openly gay football player.
Right.
And I get why it's a story, but really, why is it a story? Does anybody really think there have not been gay players in football?
I'm sure there have been.
Of course there have.
And they brought up, I was listening in the car today, they were talking about the whole thing with him in the showers. Okay?
And I can't wait.
They're commenting on how funny the other guys would feel. I don't really think it's going to turn into Blue Boy in there. You know, I really...
Well, I mean, listen, I understand the uncomfortable feeling, but that's what every heterosexual guy thinks. And they even talked about this on The Daily Show last night. How could he possibly resist me? Gay guys do not have to do every guy they come in contact
with.
I know, that's something a straight guy would do with women.
I know that, but I... Look,
you shower with a gay man? And I don't mean loofah each other's back.
I probably would not have a problem with that. I would not, you know, because you know he knows I'm not gay, and he's not going to.
But maybe he thinks he could change you.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing. How much money does he make
in a football locker room full of naked men? There has to be.
I'm turned on. Go on.
There has to be. If you're gay, you hit the jackpot. You know?
So you're just working your way through the whole team.
But there's got to be one person out of, 15, 20 guys that you're going to have your eye on.
So you're just assuming it's not going to be you?
I'm assuming it's not going to be
you. Now, what happens if you, but it's an attractive you?
What do you mean, if I was attractive?
Yes.
Would
you be more, because these guys are in good shape. Look at you. Nobody wants you.
I understand that.
Look at me. Nobody wants me. But if you were, like, ripped like these guys are in peak, prime, physical, manly condition.
Yeah. But
not an offensive lineman. Nobody wants to do a bad offensive lineman.
I'm sure you're in that situation, but you got to be sitting there lathering up and going, the guy's not.
I am right now.
But you got to think that, you know, as you're lathering up in the shit, it's cool. The guy's not bothering anybody.
It's cool. Why is he putting the soap underneath my balls? That's cool.
But no, you know, you got to think. I go, you hope that you're not in his, like, spank bubble. Going,
is that what it is?
We're in the spank bubble. You're game, baby. You're game.
Yeah, but do you really care? I mean, you know,
you're
not there in the bubble.
I know,
not
but
really
just
there.
You know, I'm doing things that I wouldn't do because I'm like part of his fantasy.
I'm doing things that I wouldn't do because I'm part of his family.
Yeah, you know, he's bent me over the water cooler.
But you don't know. It's not like he's going to whisper it to you in the huddle.
I understand.
Go long. And speaking of long, You are longer than I thought, Mister.
Now, I wonder, because this guy's gay, how it's going to affect the opposing team on the field.
Think nobody's going to touch him?
They're going to target him.
Think the lineman's going to, no, I'm not touching you. Go to the quarterback.
Yeah, but just, you know. Just
you think the quarterback, when he gets sacked, is going to hug him in a long embrace?
No, but I just get that there's a whole big bullying mentality in football. I mean, they had that whole case
last season. I think you won't hear that. You won't hear about that on the football field if it does happen. I think opposing fans are going to be brutal.
Mm.
Opposing fans are going to be brutal.
I don't know. And because it's...
Now, football fans are not the most sensitive people, Joseph.
Well, it depends where you go. I mean, Philly, holy smokes. But
well, Philly, New York, anywhere.
Yeah. But I just...
What do you think? In New Orleans, they're going to hold a parade? Like,
but I think...
They're playing the 49ers. Yay!
But I think any fan that would act out or say homophobic things and stuff like that would be lambasted.
By who?
By other fans, the media clueing in on them.
We're in a
society right now where anything that is seen as homophobic, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's wrong, but anything perceived as that or shown as that, you were hung out to dry. You should be, you know, I mean, we're in a society right now where we're above that. But, I mean, there's going to be backlash against that fan. They're going to phone it. It's going to be on Facebook. It's going to be on YouTube. This guy's going to be targeted for saying gay slurs. The groups are going to attack anybody that says anything. And like I said, it's deserved. But you would think twice if you had, you know, but there's so many lame brains out there. There's going to be plenty of imbeciles.
Speaking of imbeciles, Trucker Tom waited. I guess he Facebooked me or texted me while you were talking. And he had one word to describe this whole conversation. Do you know what that word is, Joe?
Gay.
No.
But.
Hot.
Love it.
Trucker Tom.
All right, you two, look, enough of the hot, okay?
What are you talking about? What are you talking
about? We got it. Huddle, huddle, huddle.
Don't diminish.
Not diminishing.
Diminishing a little bit.
No.
Yeah, a little bit of diminish.
Not diminish.
Trucker Tom thought this was hot. Trucker Tom is the Name That Orgasm champion.
Somebody's got some cachet that he can just...
Well, I mean, to become...
We got it last week. It was funny. Every damn thing I'm posting, I'm going to be at Hardy Har Har's hot. The band is releasing a video hot. I stubbed my foot in my tire hot.
Yes. Speaking of the band, we're going to play some Premier Race Odyssey tonight.
Yes, we are. Also, there is a gentleman, Eric Suki. Davin made me turn off my sound, who's also playing the band tonight and is also plugging our show tonight. So I'm going to get a little information on that as we go.
I think they're a New Regal Radio, right?
Something like that, yeah.
I think it's New Regal Radio. Yes, we plug shows that go head-to-head against each other.
Well, we're not going
head-to-head.
Because
we're both geniuses.
No, we're just...
Check them out.
We're doing a cross-promotion tonight.
That was thought of about 5 minutes before we went on the air.
Yes, Johnny Race called me. Yeah, you got to call him right now. Call him right now.
Johnny Race, the leader of Race Odyssey, or as I called him before the show, the captain of the Titanic. He's trying to negotiate. No, you got to do it. It's like, dude, you had all day. You had all week.
He doesn't know. Plus, he doesn't realize. I don't know how Eric does his show. I'm sure Eric has his show planned out. I mean, we have.
Sure, he has professionals.
Yeah. You know, our show is planned out, too. We have a whole thing that we're going to do. We've got some very interesting news. So we're in a set thing where, you know, we'd love to do it. Maybe we'll do it another time. But tonight's not the night.
No. But yeah, we could definitely do a cross promotion with anybody that's a friend of Race Odyssey is a
friend of ours. Well, a friend of yours. I'm in the band.
Yeah. So despite that, I still like the band. Mm. So speaking of hot, you know, nothing hotter than love around Valentine's Day, is there, Joe?
No. Get multitasking.
Yeah, Joe's still not talking on the mic yet. He's still talking.
I'm trying to, but I'm doing something else.
All right, Joe. I understand. They understand you're limited.
I'm a one paper. I'm a one-on-one paper hanger here.
Okay. So around this time of year, we like to do the annual Love Fail Contest, where we each pick three stories, and we try to determine which is the ultimate love fail. Usually, there's a tiebreaker. So we might have to go with the Den Pen to help us break the tie tonight because, you know, it gets very heated. So Pip couldn't be here. But I have Pip's stories and her arguments for them. I also came up with some music, some anti-love music that I'll play in the background, hopefully well, hopefully softly enough so, if, you know, it doesn't ruin what we're doing. Let me put that on. There we go. All right. So here's Pip's first story. Joe will be keeping track. Joe, are you ready?
You got a pencil? Your pen doesn't work.
I asked you if you had a pen before.
I did. This one. The fucking thing doesn't work.
Didn't you bring a pen? Here's
I didn't know I was keeping score.
All right, Joe, entertain the people while I find
hold
you.
On, I got it. No, that's the highlighter.
Well, that's, I'm surprised that still has any ink in it. Joe, we need you to go over this story. All right, give me a bucket of highlighter and just slather it on.
All right, I could. No, that's not it. Okay. Hold on, I'm almost done.
You gotta be kidding me.
I'm not kidding you. Would I kid about you something like this when we're about to do this amazing thing here? Hold on. Highlighter again.
Of course.
Hold on. Don't worry. Where you going? Don't walk away. Come on back, Shane. Shane, come back, Shane. I'm talking. I'm now. Come back, Shane. I got the pen. All right, good. I dropped the pen. Can you grab it? Where you going?
All right. Here we go. This is Pip's first story. This comes from the Huffington Post. She says, our first contestant, woman walks in and finds her live-in boyfriend's Facebook account open on his computer, and lo and behold, she sees an assumedly incriminating message from some hoe named Kelsey. All right. That is enough to send our girl into a rage, and she decides to write the cheater letter, including a little heart bullet points, explaining to him where all of his stuff is. His clothes are left where they first met. His video games are where they first kissed. His laptop is where they bought their first video game together. Aw, geek love. His TV is where they first went all the way. Her words and everything else, including 2 years of their photos together, are at Kelsey's house. So this is Pip's argument for that. Big creativity props to our cuckold girl. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Oh, right. Who decides that instead of just writing her man off for cheating, she decides that making a game out of the division of assets might be a little more challenging, deciding to divide his assets with whomever finds the first, that is. Some people might be encouraged to go the whole psycho bunny boiling route, but not our gal. The way she makes the target spots all the locations in the rise and the fin and fall of their love affair is extra creative. Who wouldn't be completely creeped out by the little hearts that mark off every spot that she hid his favorite things? Oopsie, guy. If you get the laptop back, better figure out how to close up your online creeping pages before the little woman shows up. My initial response is, that story doesn't have a shot in hell at making our list.
Yeah.
What do you think, Joe?
No.
Very lackluster.
Yeah.
I hope your contestant for number three is a little bit more strong.
Well, let's see. I hope I did this right. I'm picking like celebrity ones here.
You didn't have to be celebrities.
Right.
I'm going for the sweep.
Oh. I pick Miley Cyrus.
Okay.
Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth broke their engagement back in September. Cyrus is one of the hottest pop stars today, while Hemsworth is, well, who gives a shit? How hot is Miley Cyrus?
She's not.
I think
she when she was young, Kumia, she was hot.
Well, she said she did this because she conquered her fear of being alone, which led to her confidence to call off the engagement. But Cyrus is far from being alone, as she's been seen keeping company twerking on the top of Robin Thicke's crotch, and then and then keeping company on the luckiest ball in demolition history.
That's her career, Joe.
Well.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, I got this. I got number three sewn up. I feel very confident. Do you think yours is better than hers?
Yes.
Why? For the celebrity factor?
Yes.
I think the other one's more malicious, Joe.
Mm.
Here's mine. This comes from the Huffington Post. Manure hot tub. Renee Daniel from Canada gets served with divorce papers. He's hurt by this. He dumps a whole lot of manure on her front porch and in her hot tub. When authorities confront him about this, he hops on his tractor and leads them on a chase of 10 miles per hour. They forcibly removed him from the tractor after about 1 mile. Here's why. I don't think there's even a contest on this one. First of all, you can't get manure out of the jets of a hot tub, Joe. You can't do that. And you got spurn love, manure, and a low-speed chase involving your tractor. It is everything we could want, Joe.
It took them a mile.
I guess they're running alongside. They go, enough of this crap. Joe, I don't think it's even close. I don't think it's even close. Do we agree?
Yeah, I think that's...
In the three hole! Manure hot tub, Joe, if you could write that down for us.
I got you. All right.
All right, why don't you give us... You got that written down?
Yes.
All right, why don't you give us your contestant for number two, Joe?
Okay. Mine would be Clint Eastwood and Diana Ruiz. Clint Eastwood and Diana Ruiz are getting divorced after 17 years of marriage. Before he got married, Eastwood said that she was the one he was waiting for. Well, until that someone else comes by. Apparently, that was a jazz musician.
Slow down, you're rushing through.
Okay. Apparently, that was a jazz musician, Diana Crow, who's been seen with him, who's half his age.
That's a win!
Yes, get it. Guess he made his day. Huddler. Now... Eastwood will not have to show up at the divorce trial. Instead, an empty chair will be placed in the courtroom and the lawyers will talk to it. Clint.
Joe wrote for the bit.
Clint, we're going to cut visitation to your kid. What, Clint? Do I believe in God? And then, Clint, we're going to contest the prenup. What was that? Do I feel lucky today, punk? Well, what are we trying to be fair here, Clint? What, Clint? Don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining out.
Okay, you went all celebrity route.
Yeah.
I will give you my number two, and then we will do Pip's number two, all right?
Okay.
Woman cleans house in the split. This comes from the Huffington Post as well. Fatma İdem of Turkey decides she wants to leave her husband Sahim. She waits for him to go to work, and she invites her brothers over. They help her. They help her take what she wants, including the kitchenware, curtains, carpets, windows, and roof. All right, Joe. He doesn't have a house. He has a construction site. Technically, she only did take half. She did leave the floors and the walls.
You figured he would split it in half.
Well, you know, he was out at work, and she did what she wants. That's a crappy day when you come home to that, Joe.
No, it's me in September.
There's no way your wife would do that. She's not handy enough. She doesn't have brothers.
Bad enough the gutter's falling off already. All right.
Well, maybe that's part of her plan.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Slowly, but surely, like the way she's killing you.
Yes.
What do you think, Joe? Do you think I got you beat on that one?
For the simple fact, they took the effing roof.
They took the roof! What type of hut are you? How do you make a roof? I don't understand how you do that. How can you take a roof? Yeah. It must have been a very small place.
Yes.
Can you imagine, like, lifting a roof off?
You can't do it.
I can't do it.
I can't do it. I could raise the roof, though. Yeah, baby. But I can't take the roof.
All right. Let's see what Pip has. Let's see if Pip can knock me out of the two hole. All right. Here we go. This is also from the Huffington Post. Vicky Lynn Morgan allegedly takes break from anal sex to attack lover's wife. All right. You've piqued my interest, Pip Felix. I mean, I don't know how you call anal sex off. It's not like you go time out.
Yeah.
Let's take a commercial break.
What's up your ass? Your wife! Figured it was me.
What is she doing here? She ruins everything!
Ruins everything. Jeez, I was the one that literally was.
I was the one that literally was?
Yes.
I don't get it.
What's up your ass? Your wife! Well, I was the one that was literally up. Literally gone.
All right, let's see what Pip... Let's hear about the story. So you go looking for your no-good son-of-a-bitch husband, written from a woman's perspective, apparently, at his parents' house. Walk into one of the bedrooms where you hear animal noises and the sloshing of liquor and the exhaling of pot to see your husband backdoor banging some horrendous beast. I guess she was not described well. First of all, what grown-up does this in their parents' home? Well, you don't want to make a mess at your house, Pip.
Yeah, really.
Of course, they needed sexy love nest for their anal pleasure. But the crucifix over the bed and the smell of Nana's Bengay might ruin the mood for most. Not these two.
Boy, oh boy, they're hardcore.
This would be the time for any wife to either beat the crap out of her husband, or what is more often the strange case, beat up the other woman, or tear ass out of there. I like what she did there.
Hmm.
Crying because you just witnessed some ass tearing on your own. This trio decides to take things into the whole other direction, and the heinous wildebeest the husband has been banging gets up and starts wailing on the wife. You don't want to piss off the wildebeest. As if she is the injured party in that room. Well, she might be after all that anal, but this is some pretty ballsy turn of events. All right, certainly a much better entrant than her first one.
That's true.
Again, though, I don't think a top's taking the roof. I mean, anybody could beat the crap out of a woman.
Yeah, that story you told takes their cake and the roof.
And the roof. So I got that. I got the second and third slots nailed down. Is the music too loud?
No, it's fine.
Oh. Has anybody weighed in that I should know about?
They're talking about Roy Orbison. And they're preparing for a winter storm. Cold, you're going to get 3 feet of snow.
Glad to know they're paying attention.
I don't think I can interact with them as much as I can and do this.
No, I don't believe it. All right, so this is my spot, my pick for the top spot. All right? Woman cuts off penis.
Been there, done that.
See, now hold on. That's what my wife kind of said before I read the story. Because I ran a couple of these past there, and right. She's like, hack. Okay, you know what? This isn't a comic doing the arms or a fat comic saying, let me move the mic stand out of the way so you could see me better. This is a penis being cut off. This isn't everyday stuff. To me, when a penis is cut off, it's still newsworthy, Joe. But you are not plussed by that either.
It happens all the time.
No, it does not. If it happened all the time, we wouldn't be reading about it.
Yeah. Ooh, but still, not a laughing matter.
What?
If you get your penis cut
off. No, it's not a laughing matter. Right. So, but do you agree with my wife it's been hacked?
Yeah, I've been done.
So you think perhaps I made a faux pas in the one?
Well, here's the deal. You haven't told the story yet. So you've got the premise. You've got the headline. Okay? Let's see how meaty, no pun intended, is this, the story is.
A Brazilian woman catches her man cheating on her.
Right.
With another man. She does not react. She keeps her cool. A few days later, she invites him to play a sex game with her. She ties him into the bed, cuts off his penis with a serrated knife. I want to emphasize, this is not chopping off. This is sawing it off.
It's serrated.
Yeah, that's going to smell. So for me, this is number one because the story has gay making and a man losing his junk. So neither sex can enjoy him anymore.
Ooh.
Not only is he cheating, he's cheating with a dude. And this woman is so calculated, she goes, you know what? I'm going to walk that off.
Well, in a gay marriage, you could be the woman, though.
That's true. Yeah. Maybe she's doing him a favor.
Could be. You never know.
That is a point against her.
Could be.
We're
going to deduct a point.
I got to think, Joe. I'm pretty good out of the gate. Let's see what Pip Hewlett has in her number one slot. Certainly not a detachable penis. All right, this comes from Mirror.com. Unlucky in love man chops off own penis because he was fed up with not having a girlfriend. Contestant number three is the ultimate lonely heart. The unfortunately named Mr. Yang, 26, was so despondent from working long hours and never getting a girlfriend that he cut off his own penis. Thinking better of his actions or noticing the intense pain and gushing blood, Mr. No More Yang rode his bike to the hospital. The hospital, in a cruel and unusual move, sent him back home to fetch the penis. He lost so much blood and it took so much time, they couldn't reattach the member. I think I got to run for my money here.
Right.
You got a guy who pedaled his bike to the hospital and had to pedal home. If he would have had a basket, he could have put the penis in the basket.
I got a couple of people saying their connection's been refused.
What do you mean your connection's been refused?
Yeah, the connection refused.
I don't know what that means. Where are they listening? I don't know why. You know, again, I don't know why there's tech issues. Usually I get alerted to this on Facebook or something. I'll check again. I don't know why that's going on tonight. Figures.
Okay, there's some affiliates that are working correctly now. All right, so folks, if you're having a problem, go to one of the other affiliates to check that out.
What site were they listening on?
I asked a question. They're saying the chat feed was messing up.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Well,
they were saying it was through. Somebody was saying it was through the page link.
What? Are they? Can they listen now on our page? So DJ loves that we're playing a Weird Al ballad. So we got that going. And Joey from Hawk Radio is asking, what does national news mean? Well, Joey, stick around and you'll find out.
You most certainly will.
What does national news mean? It means people should be talking about it.
Right.
And it'll actually be international news.
Right.
I got our stream working fine on my end, so I don't know what the problem is.
Well, what's the length that you're on?
No, I'm not listening to our show, Joe. I'm participating in our show. And
they're having a problem on davinsden.com.
Well, that's not good, because we alerted the media to go to that site. Ay, ay, ay. Let's see. Well, I will make a little text message. But I don't... So, what are they getting on our site exactly? Because our site's the one everybody's copying it from. Well, this is awkward, as usual. Ay, ay, ay. What a cluster F this is. Can't wait till we have a producer. Somebody who can... And an engineer. And all these good things. But, I guess the question with getting back to the countdown is, is cutting off your own penis worse than having it cut off later on with a serrated knife?
Right. Now, I was busy trying to alert this pump. The guy cut off his own penis.
Because he was so despondent because he couldn't get a girl.
Now, is that sort of a relationship thing?
It's a lack of relationship thing.
But wasn't this based on relationships breaking up?
It didn't have to be breaking up. It was love fails. Things in love that just didn't work out. I mean, I guess if I was Pip Helix, I could argue is...
I'm going to... I don't know.
Well, somebody has to decide.
I don't think that is a relationship.
You don't think that...
I don't think that qualifies. That
well, I mean, he had a relationship with himself.
But that doesn't qualify.
You're disqualifying.
I'm disqualifying that story.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I thank you. Because I was a little concerned, Joe. I was a little concerned that Pip Helix's penis was going to trump my penis. And I do not like when a chick trumps my penis. I'm a little offended by that.
That could be a problem.
All right, Joe. So do you think you could take off the serrated knife chop?
Well, I could see. I think I just went with the wrong criteria here because I was just concentrating on celebrity, so I don't know how much I'm going to win. But nonetheless, we'll give it a shot.
Am I going for the sweep?
It might be.
Cool.
After over 12 years of marriage, Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones called it quits. The marriage had a lot of up and downs, including Douglas's bout with throat cancer, which he intentionally claimed was due to oral sex. Which he later
that was this year?
Yeah. Which he later, which was wrong, as the Surgeon General's warning on Zeta's Jones snatch did not save caution. It was.
You know, you would think they would mark that off.
You would think there'd be a Surgeon General warning on her snatch. It was interesting to see how concerned Douglas was about oral sex with his wife than blowing Matt Damon 120 times in Behind the Candelabra.
Wait, what? Oh, that's right, because they made that movie.
Yeah, yeah. So that's my story. Probably lost. But I made me laugh.
It did. Listen, I think I got the sweep, my friend. Mm. I think my stiffest, if you will, competition was the man who cut off his own yang, named Mr. Yang.
But he got discontinued.
Well, you disqualified him.
Disqualified because it's not a relationship.
Okay, listen, who am I to argue when it puts me in a clean sweep? Joe, if you could recap the stories from third to second to first.
All right, so we had Pip, the internet Facebook guy, got caught with all his stuff.
No. I'm talking about the top three. We don't need all the stories.
Oh, the top three?
Yeah, okay. The winners, which are all my stories, as well they should be.
Okay, the top one is woman cuts off man's penis. The next one is a woman takes off the top of somebody's house. And Davin's third one was manure in a hot tub. So there you go. Those are the big three.
There you go. All right. I'm very proud of this. Another victory. I slap myself on the back. You're staring at there. Have they gotten their issues fixed over there?
Tommy's helping out, directing them where to go.
So our site is down.
Let's see.
I'm going to text Diva Donnie. Donnie, if you're listening, can you just jump over to my site? And take a listen. If not, I will text you. This is not the show I wanted to have tonight, obviously. But it is what it is. There's nothing I can do about it.
Okay, Tom says the chat feed is working for now.
Diva Donnie is checking it out. Oh, wait, there we go. Wait, are we down? There we go.
They're telling us that we're up again.
All right, I will have to look into that tonight. Should we do a little Drunks in the News, Joe?
Yes.
Drunks in the News. Let me get that queued up. Drunks in the News. Drunks in the News. Usually I'm a little bit more prepared.
This is going swimmingly.
Yeah, this is really cluster F, but that's all right. Play the music.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
play the story. It involves a drunk and a wedgie.
I can't imagine how you do that to your stepfather, choking with his underwear.
33-year-old Brad Davis is under arrest for taking a high school prank to a deadly level. Investigators say Davis and his 58-year-old stepfather, Denver St. Clair, were drinking together inside the family home a few days before Christmas. According to the police affidavit, tempers flared when St. Clair began speaking ill of Davis's mother, and a fight broke out. Davis claims his stepfather swung first, but the domestic dispute intensified when Davis knocked his stepfather unconscious, grabbed his underwear, and gave him a, quote, atomic wedgie.
His underwear was pulled up over his head, and the elastic band was around his throat.
The medical examiner reports the cause of death was a combination of blunt force trauma and asphyxiation.
And with the blunt force trauma, you know, that's the whole, I mean, that's a whole other issue, too. So one of the two, either or, you know, it was bad.
After the fight, Davis called 911 to report what happened, but police believe he tampered with the crime scene to make it look like he killed St. Clair in self-defense.
People knew him, and then to be killed like that, it's just outrageous. So it's like something you can't even imagine.
And there you go.
All right. Well, I just got a note that the chat line and stream are not working, but I just got a note that they are working fine.
Okay. Maybe it's
I had Diva Donnie go over there and check, and he said it's working fine.
Okie dokie.
So I don't know who is having the issue.
Let's see.
Joe is checking right now.
Softly.
I don't know who softly is. So I don't know. Usually if it's somebody who I know,
right,
I can kind of like, well, they always have problems.
Right.
But listen, softly, if you're having, here's the thing. If you happen to be one of the few who's having an issue on the davinsden.com page and you can hear my voice, fortunately we have a lot of great affiliates. So all you got to do, here's what you got to do. If you're having an issue and you still want to chat in our chat room, you go onto our affiliates page. You go to one of our affiliates page. You open that up. So you'll be hearing us right now. All the affiliates are there for the live shows. You click on that, you'll be listening. Then you go to davincomedy.com, davincomedy.com. You go to the Davin's Den page, and then you click the chat and go link. So you can still chat in the chat room with us, and you'll still be listening to the show live, and you'll be listening to one of our great affiliates. So you're losing nothing by going that way if you're one of the few folks who are having an issue on our site tonight.
Yeah, so people listening through the IndieAuthority.com that says it's working fine. I think it depends on some people's computer settings on what might be defining what's going on with that, because some people are getting in. Some people are saying there's no problem. But just if you are having a problem, just skip around, and there should be a link on there that would work fine for you.
It really wouldn't be a show of ours when we were trying to accomplish something if the tech did not crap out. Really, that's how you know you listen to the den. I mean, I was going to throw my computer through the wall before the show because my broadcaster was doing what it always does.
Especially when we're trying to do a story. We're both trying to fix the tech, and we're like, what'd you say? I don't know. What'd you say?
This is a cluster tonight.
All right, so
let's get into the story. Before we do, we'd be remiss if we did not do our Benjamin Franklin drinking term.
Yes.
Of course, the Benjamin Franklin drinking term, one of America's great founding fathers.
Yes.
Other countries might not look at him as well as we do, but
he's ours.
He is ours.
He's ours.
A man that likes women and flies kites.
Right on.
There's nothing wrong with that. And he also liked to imbibe.
Sure.
So he actually came up with over 200 synonyms for getting sloshed. So here we go. This week's Benjamin Franklin drinking term is, he cuts his capers.
He cuts his capers?
Yes. He cuts his capers. I like that. It's a little wordy if you're drunk.
I would phrase it like this. I'm going to go cut my, yeah, he's going to be, we're going to be cutting our capers tonight. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
But I think you say it when they're already drunk, though. Look at him over there. He's cut his capers.
Could be.
I like that. I wouldn't understand that because I would think he's like preparing something for Top Chef.
That's true. But, you know, it sounds cool. Go to town, cut my capers tonight.
I like that.
That sounds cool. It's got a little ring to
it. Are you going to use that?
No, because nobody would know what I mean.
Well, that's probably better that way. When you come home and the wife's squawking at you.
Drinking with Franklin.
You're drunk. I am not. I've just cut my capers.
I just cut my capers. Who are you with? Franklin.
I like it, Joe.
He's an asshole. No, he's a forefather.
How dare you, woman!
How dare you, woman! You damn Franklin! You damn the United States of America!
You're not a patriot. I might be an alcoholic, but I love this country.
And I am not going to live in a house with a gummy.
Good day, woman.
Good day, woman.
I said good day.
I'm walking out the house. What? Bring two pails with you at the curb? Okay.
What do you mean? What do you mean take the roof with me?
I was out there this morning bringing the stupid pails out. I felt like I was on the bird expedition propping those stupid pails on top of a snowbank.
Can't you just put them in the street?
There's no room in the street.
What do you mean there's no room?
Because the cars will hit it. With the snowbanks and stuff.
They'll avoid it. The cars are going, oh, there's a trash pail.
All my stuff all over the street, and I got to go picking it up.
No, you don't. You're not going to be home.
Well,
you don't have to pick it up. The squirrels will get it.
No, the dumbbell rat will probably find it. I got to deal with him.
The dumbbell rat?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, sometimes the rat jumps in a pail.
You have a rat that lives by your house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know, have you named this rat?
No, Joanne says he's my pet.
Oh, so you're allowed to have a pet?
No, I can't catch him.
Have you tried?
He outsmarts me.
I can see that.
That stupid rat.
No, rats are very smart.
They are, but I put cheese out. I used to put cheese.
Tom? And I don't mean truck
like
Tom.
Cheese. I put cheese out there and some stinky garbage around the trap, and the son of a bitch pulls it out there, and the thing goes off. And I caught one time, but I didn't. He got smart.
What'd you do with the court rat?
I
was he dead?
No, I stuffed him and put him in state like he was Lenin. I threw him in a garbage.
All the other rodents come around. Look around. Well, he was a great rat. He really was. No, I mean, he always got the best trash. Always took care of the little ones. Never ate his own kids or the neighbor's kids.
He's an inspiration for rats.
I mean, he had rabies, but he never used it against anybody. No, I mean, sure, he was mangy, but he gave those fleas a home. He was a good rat. He was a pillar of our rodent community.
Yeah, he was a pillar of the rodent community.
I can't believe that that good no-for-nothing Joe Curry took out our best rat. Joe, really, you're a murderer. Yeah, you took out the leader.
He's vermin.
Maybe he thinks the same of you.
Probably.
But you don't see him setting out little traps for you with, like, booze and, like, a big guillotine coming to get you. Ooh, whiskey. There goes Joe's
that
head.
Son of a bitch. Almost had me that time, stupid. Not again, though. And I got my shot.
Rats start chasing you, run into the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that was very nice.
No. What do you do with your rodents?
We don't have rodents.
Because you got two cats.
Please, those cats are useless. We had a mouse once.
What happened?
The mouse got drowned.
Really?
Yeah, it drowned in the sink.
Ugh.
I think it went swimming.
Ugh.
Ooh, an indoor pool.
Oh, my wife must have screamed when she saw that.
I think she found it.
Oh, I would scream. I would scream like a sissy pants. I don't like mice and rats.
Okay. Do you stand on a chair and go eek?
Yeah.
Joanne, you get this one.
I would.
I got the pails. You get the rat.
Oh, I turn into such a sissy pants. Like,
just the word sissy pants. A little sissy-ish.
Yeah.
I got to be a little bit honest. I don't know if I'm much better.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm not much for the killing and the grossness of things.
Mm.
Like, I love the fact that we have, like, a bug gun.
Yeah.
So I can, like, put it on the spider and it gets sucked up.
Right.
As opposed to actually squishing. I'm not a squishing guy.
Yeah, I like when I kill the wasp nest, and I pretend I look through the end of the can like I'm a fighter bomber, and it's just, I'm a grown man. I'm on my porch.
Do you have like one of those ones where it shoots the spray?
Oh shit! Yeah, I go get those sons of bitches.
All right, so we're both pussies here. Yeah. We neither one of us is getting close.
I'll tell you a story. When I was a fence contractor, I had a can of wasp spray in my truck, and I'm on a fence job, and I hit a wasp nest. Three of them sting me. I'm running back to the truck. I've got 15 behind me. I go.
You count? What, you take roll call? Hold on. Let's see who exactly is in odd
15. It could have been 100 of them.
But I got 15. Well,
but they were
Buzzy.
Hornets. They were actually hornets. Hornets are nasty, like a biker gang.
Well, you just took out their home, Joe.
I know. Well, it wasn't my fault. I didn't. You know, it was home sweet home, and I'm like, I go enough of that shit.
Well, if somebody barged into your house, you chase them out. I don't think the insects are being unreasonable,
well,
Joe.
Well, and we used to share trucks, so
with the bugs?
No, with the other crews.
Oh, okay.
So, and I go to the truck. I grab the spray. And now the spray can is empty. Two more sting me. I'm trying to swat at the damn
thing. You're using the can as a swatter?
I had no choice. The assholes used all the spray in the can, put it back in the truck. So now I go to spray him. Two more sting me in my hand. I got the can. I'm trying to hit him with the can.
Why didn't you go in the truck?
Because I wanted to kill them with the spray.
But they were winning.
Had I known that I had these,
dumbbell
used all my...
Once you're reduced to waving at them with an empty can, you know... You know that the desired purpose for the spray can is not what is going to
because
be.
Because what happens, if I don't have spray, I'm going mano a mano with them, and I'm going to take them out with an object.
But you didn't. Did you take out all 15 like your Reggie Jackson?
No, I got one.
You got one?
Yeah.
And how many stung you in that?
Another three.
Another three. Wasps win. Wasps win. You lose. Did you have a reaction?
Yeah, I was pissed.
So the wasps win too. We lost five good men.
I was fine, but a guy I used to work with used to get allergic to bee stings.
Which is good when you're working outdoors.
I know, and this dude weighed about 280. And it was one day.
There's a lot to sting.
There was one day he saw a bee and we're working on a fence job and he ran over me like a bull elephant. I'm like, holy smokes, unbelievable.
So a man that's 280 could run.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get out of the way.
He caught me one time because he was wearing his. Oh yeah, you know why? Because he was wearing this.
Hard to get.
He was big. He was wearing a green shirt and a green shorts and a green hat. And I looked at him and I go, you know what? You look like a big. Pickle.
A pickle?
Yeah, I go, you look like a big
Are you
pickle.
Hungry?
No. And then he chased me down Route 110 and caught me.
Wait, it was a foot race?
Yeah.
Along the highway?
Yeah.
And he caught you?
Yeah.
You were slow.
I know.
You get caught by rats. Mm-hmm. You get caught by wasps. You get caught by fatty boombalatties.
Yes.
You're a slow man.
I know. I never, hey, what are you going to do? They tried to swat him with the can.
What am I going to do? Stop pissing everybody off. That's what I would do. Idiots. I can just see you flailing away at a wasp.
Oh, it was a sight to see. It was ridiculous.
Why don't you just charge him like a bull with your head, Joe? That would have been productive.
No, let me tell you, I got back to the shop. I was pissed. I was pissed. I was pissed. Because I hated sharing trucks. It was the stupidest thing he would do. We had to share crew. Every crew should have had their own truck. You're responsible for this stuff. But no, we had a switch. I couldn't find tools. My chainsaw's missing.
I found one. A tool.
No.
The guy who's trying to attack wasps with an empty can.
Hey, what are you going to do?
Run!
They had me cornered.
They win.
Yeah.
The wasps win. So, all right,
they were wasps. They were actually hornets.
Before we get on with our story, let's just recap. Insects, greater than Joe Curry. Rodents, greater than Joe Curry. Where Joe Curry is on the evolution of life, I'm not very sure, but he's not doing well.
Yeah. Softly Soft Me wanted me to negotiate with the hornets.
Negotiate with the Hornets?
Yes, yes. Look at we could be reasonable about this, Hornets.
You know what you should have done? Maybe Softly Softly's correct. Maybe you grab a Hornet and go, listen, I'll swear to God I'll kill this Hornet right here.
I'll kill
back off.
Hornet dead.
Back off.
I'll kill one of you.
Because they don't know it's empty. Maybe you hold a little empty can to its head and everything. They go, don't make me do this. He's got a family.
Yeah. I say he's bluffing. No, he's not. That looks loaded.
Well, you should have negotiated. Softly Softly has a point.
Yeah. Okay.
Back to our trunk. Back to our trunk, who was killed via a wedgie. All right, so here's the thing. Once the father's knocked out, isn't the atomic wedgie just an insult to injury?
Yes.
I mean, once somebody's passed out, I think you can leave the underwear intact, unless you have more fun and games planned.
It's just... And they have to put an atomic...
Well, that makes it more real.
They have to... It was an atomic wedgie.
It's a terrorist attack.
You know, there's a statute where certain wedgies... or like certain crimes. So if it's like a regular wedgie, that's a misdemeanor. But if it's not an atomic wedgie, well, it's a felony.
So have you ever done something to somebody when they were unconscious or passed out? Well, wait, we know that. You might as well recap that story briefly for the new listeners.
There was a hotel room. It was a friend's wedding, and I met a gal, and we were in bed together, and I had to leave, and she didn't want to.
You spent the night?
Yeah, we spent the night together, and I left her a surprise on her calf.
You got...
It wasn't candy. No,
it wasn't candy. It wasn't like an animal. It wasn't a towel animal.
No.
What did you leave her, Joe?
I would say a... what could I say?
Just say it.
Some semen. And I don't mean the Navy.
So you came... On her leg?
Yes.
As she was passed out?
Yes. I had a fence company to run in 20 minutes.
And apparently you need to run yourself,
too. Yes.
Have you done anything else terrible to somebody while they're passed out? Ever put their hand in like a glass to make them pee?
No.
Ever shaved off any eyebrows?
No.
Have you ever had that to you?
My girlfriend one time, I fell asleep and
she came on your leg.
No. But I woke up one time. She put makeup on me. And I wake up, and she looks at me. She goes, "You're pretty." Like, what do you mean? And she holds the mirror. I had mascara on.
How do
lipstick.
You not feel her messing with your eyeball?
When I fall,
were you cutting the capers?
No, when I fall asleep, man, I fall asleep. I had. I remember one time in the Boy Scouts, I wound up waking up outside one time. I go, what happened? And my buddy goes, the tent fell down last night. And we tried to wake you, but we said, screw it. So,
so they left you in a collapsed
tent? I'm a very sound sleeper.
You really are?
Yes. I wound up waking up outside. I'm outside. I'm like, what happened here?
Do you get pissed off?
No.
Did you wave an empty wasp can at them?
No, I did not.
You son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch. Then I remember I woke up at one place. I was staying over some girl's apartment, and I woke up. I didn't know where I wake up. I go, I got to call the shop. I got to do that. I go, first things first. Where the hell am I? I totally forgot where I was, man. I wake up. I don't even know where I am. You know, those are the days.
I remember in college, some of the fraternity brothers shaved the eyebrows off of another one of the fraternity brothers while
really?
He was passed out.
That's a dick move.
He looks surprised the whole time now.
Because you're going to make the guy look like an asshole.
That's the point. That's why you do something like this.
Right. Well,
you're not doing it to improve their outlook.
Well, I think I told this story before. I was on, the band was playing up in Poughkeepsie. It was like we're on the road the first time. It's about 20 years ago. And we go into a IHOP in Middletown, New York. It's a Sunday morning. I'm walking, the whole band's in there, and I got to go to the bathroom. So I'm walking through the IHOP, and the whole place is looking at me. And I'm like, that's right. Yeah, I'm a musician. I'm a rock musician. I'm the man.
You thought you were being recognized.
Yeah, I thought people looking at me like I was cool and stuff like
Why?
That. Because I was 21, an idiot, and clueless. All right?
Not much different than what we get presented with now.
Right. So, I'm thinking I'm the guy, you know. So I walk into the bathroom, and now I know why people are looking at me. They drew kitty cat whiskers on me and wrote, I'm gay, on my forehead.
Now, that was back when being gay was not acceptable.
That is true.
Now, a gay man could have kitty cat whiskers and write that.
Yes, they could have been coming from the parade or something like that.
Question.
Just jumped off the float.
Question. Once you have the kitty cat whiskers, don't we just kind of assume you're gay? I mean, isn't it overkill? Isn't it much like the atomic wedgie where a regular wedgie would have done?
Yeah, but go full atomic.
You like the atomic.
I like the atomic. The whole, it's like the atomic, you know, it's like, you know, Harry Truman pulled your drawers up like that.
What?
Harry Truman.
I know who he is.
The man who dropped the atomic bomb.
Yeah, but I wouldn't compare his work to a wedgie.
Well, I would say that.
He wedgied Japan.
Wedgied Japan.
They got their knickers in a bunch.
Yeah, don't be racist.
Oh, I see what you did. So here's my question. If the son is convicted of murder and is sent to prison, will the inmates be forced to go commando? Since, like, underwear is this guy's, you know, way he kills people. All right, Eric, no more underwear.
Yeah, no more underwear.
He's going to use it against us.
Oh, boy, what are you in for, an atomic wedgie?
Yeah, you're going to have friends.
Yeah, you're going to have problems. I think people are going to gang up on you.
I wonder what type of underwear inmates are allowed to wear.
I don't know. Maybe boxers.
Why?
Because you can't hide contraband in there.
Because there's no elastic at the bottom?
That's true, yes.
Interesting. But if you could tie it to your leg, there's more room.
I don't know. Why are we wondering what men wear to jail?
Just because it could happen after we announce what we're going to announce.
Could be.
I want to wear boxers. Well, you can't. You're going to be briefed and debriefed.
Yeah. Funny.
Thank you. Once in a while. I don't think I've ever received an atomic wedgie. No, an atomic wedgie is when it goes over your head.
Right.
I've never received an atomic wedgie. Have you?
No, I never. I got my share of wedgies in the day.
No, the day was last week.
Yeah. But I never got an atomic wedgie.
Do you feel disappointed?
No, I feel thankful.
Can you imagine the amount of damage that is done to both underwear and insides to have your underwear ripped over your head? I mean, that's got to smart. And if you're wearing a thong, it's got to
You beat me, yeah, right.
I mean, that's like razor wire.
Yeah.
That's going to cut you out.
Wow. An atomic wedgie.
But then again, if you're wearing a thong, you really don't mind if stuff's up there.
If you're wearing a thong, you deserve to get a wedgie.
What about our European friends? They wear thongs.
Well,
what?
Know.
If you saw a hot chick in a thong as your first move, I'm going to show her.
I'm talking about men.
Oh, okay.
Women, it's hot.
Is it hot?
Hot.
It is hot. Men, not so hot?
Not so hot.
I think I've been wedgied. What?
Welcome to a very special Davin's Den, where Davin makes a breakthrough. Tell us, Davin, what happened?
I think I've been wedgied.
Really?
Not now. But I think in my time.
In your time. How come you always think things? And I'm not being, because you always, I think I had this, I think I had the wedgie. What, were you in a trance? You don't do drugs.
I told you, my memory stinks.
That's awful. Except when I make a mistake 3 years ago, it's brought up every 10 minutes. But
that's the type of thing that sticks with a man. You don't forget that type of atrocity.
How could you forget a wedgie?
How could you? Why would I want to remember it?
It's just, it's something, it's a traumatic event in your childhood.
Maybe not so much. I've been through worse.
I remember Tommy Neary giving me a wedgie in the Boy Scouts.
Well, that doesn't seem like a Boy Scout thing to do.
No, it was not.
Well, did you get a merit badge for that?
See a badge with drawers being over your head. Oh, funny.
No, the worst. See, I do have one traumatic event that I remember happening.
What's that?
These two bullies, one of which I was kind of friends with, so I thought, and one which I never got along with, was a dick the whole time. Got along with his younger brother.
Yeah.
So we're outside in the gym, and I'm on the track, and we're running track, and they were faster than me.
Right.
And they caught me, and they pulled down my clothes. This is a very traumatic. Why are you laughing? I'm sharing. Now I'm not going to share, Joe. I'm sharing, and now I'm not going to share.
What, you want me to reach for a tissue? Fuck you. This is funny.
I'm opening up myself with the group, and you say you're mocking. Do I do this to you when you're on the cell phone?
Trucker Tom says, welcome to the repressed memory segment on Davin's Den. Yes, it seems that way, Thomas.
No, this I remember, because I don't remember much. This I remember. So they catch me, the two of them. They're both way bigger than me.
Right.
Because to be a bully.
They weren't a big fat guy in a green shirt or a Hornets, were they?
No.
Okay.
So they pulled down my pants, yeah. And for some reason they had lipstick on them. I don't know why.
How did your pants get lipstick on them?
No, the bullies had lipstick. The bullies were packing lipstick.
Okay.
This was going to be their weapon of choice.
It's funny.
What?
That's funny. Lipstick with pricks. They can't just leave it. You got to bring a lipstick. It creeps.
No, so there I am on the far side of the track where no one can see. You know, these two have caught me, tackled me, pants akimbo, and they wrote on my ass in lipstick.
What did they write?
I don't know, Joe. I couldn't read it.
Well, wouldn't you be curious to see what they wrote?
No, Joe.
I don't think it's flattering, whatever it was.
I think that's the ultimate in gay when you gotta attack another guy and start drawing on his ass.
How old were you?
High school? I don't know where I share, and this is what you do.
That's a great prank.
Are you going to run out and try that tomorrow? No. Is there a man whose ass you need to see and write on?
I think the funniest prank, though, ever. The best prank is lighting a bag of crap on fire. Because the whole premise, because you got to stamp it on, there's crap inside the bag. The first guy to figure that out should have got the Nobel Prize.
Have you ever done that?
No, but it's just an ingenious thing.
It's really?
Just the whole thing where you have to put you fill a bag of crap. And then, because for the simple reason, the only way to put it out is stomp on it, put this crap in it, so you stomp into crap.
That's the only way to put it out. It's the instinctual way to pull it out.
Well, you go on instinct.
You could water it down.
Well,
then you're going to have diarrhea on the front stair.
That's true, right.
Then you have watery crap.
That's true. But that's genius.
But somebody has to collect the crap.
Use gloves. Hey, somebody had to get uranium to make the bomb. You know, somebody had to do it.
Have you ever seen this done?
No.
But you'd like to see this done.
The whole problem, yes. The whole thing is just—it just got to be hysterical.
I think it's kind. I think there's a poor victim someplace. I don't think it's hysterical at all.
With a shoe that's all singed and crap all over.
Yeah, imagine you get your new Air Jordans. You know the designer ones and everything. You come outside, you start stomping it out. Now you got shit on them.
Oh,
and you got to go to work. Now you can't go to work because you smell like crap.
Yes, with singed shoes and crap between the crevices. You ever try to get crap out of a sneaker, those little crevices? You got to sit there.
You got to scrape them on the curb.
I know. Well, or use the toothbrush. You got to get a toothbrush.
And then you put it back in your mouth? What are you using?
No, you throw it out because it gets right in the crevices.
Wow, you really go to town on it.
Oh, yeah, I want my shoes clean.
Really?
Yes.
I go with the curb. Mm. I go with the curb, scrape it along the curb.
Right.
Always probably go, what is that? And then you go, oh, it's me.
Yeah.
It's me.
It's dog shit.
And the first place you look is your shoe.
Yes.
And then if it's not there, then you have one more place where you can check. And that's a worse scenario.
And that's where the lipstick is.
Yes. Yes, that's where the lipstick is. It was traumatic, though, because I remember I went home and there was still some lipstick in my underwear. It was traumatic. Who does that? It's a terrible thing to do.
God, that's funny.
It's not funny, Joe. Yeah. I share with the audience,
yeah.
And you mock.
I want, let's see, Crimson Cat, I want to do the flaming dog poo on my neighbor's front porch with her dog crap that's left on our yard. See, that's a good revenge thing.
Vengeance poop.
Right, right.
I always like a spiteful poop.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of a spiteful poop.
Absolutely.
My wife has the same thing with the neighbors. They got these two little dogs, now a third one, a big one too. And she'll fling the crap back over to their house.
Yeah.
The crap is flying.
Real shit storm.
Compared to what we're going to talk about in a little while, perhaps.
Sure.
I did not mean to go down this crappy road, but here we go.
Long and crappy road. Dun, dun. Sorry.
What's that to?
That's a long and winding road.
Oh, okay. So now because of this, could we now start seeing the TSA rules where people can't wear underwear on flights since now they're dangerous? I mean, you don't want a terrorist to get through there and, like, you know, the pilot's trying to steer the plane. Next thing you know, he can't see.
Well, he's got underwear all we can see. What could you see? Could you see the airport? No, I can see a waistband.
I mean, should the TSA be concerned? Maybe we're... I mean, bras have been used in terrorist activities. Why not underwear? Got to be a little concerned. I think we're all going to have to go commando. I think it's the patriotic thing to do. If you're not freeballing, you don't love America. I'm saying it right here. I'm saying it right now.
Freeballing.
Yeah, freeballing.
Freeballing. Sorry.
I think Tom Petty had a song about that.
Yeah, it's called Freeballing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's called Freeballing.
I'm sorry. I was confused.
Yeah. There'll be a lot of patriotism and a lot of chafing thanks to this new rule.
So the whole point of this is because this is drunks in the news and, you know, these people were drunk. Do you get more violent when you're drunk?
Yes.
You do?
Well, back in the day, it depends on your race. Like in my 20s, I would be on for a fight sometimes.
You didn't think you were the bomb, the big musician.
That's right. But no, I'm usually a happy drunk. However, some people could change. I got my buddy, and I've known this guy since kindergarten. And when he drinks, he could be a really good dude. And then there are nights where he's not so much of a good dude.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think people get angry? Because I never understood that, because I always want to take a nap.
Because a lot of times your inhibitions get lowered, and sometimes issues that you repress come up at the forefront. Sometimes.
So you think your outer prick comes out?
Yeah.
Your inner prick comes out?
The prick
that you've been keeping within you
has
been now exposed.
Exactly. I mean, there's some guy, you know, I mean, look at drunk guys at a show or something like that. Yeah.
Drunk guys at a show. That's true, you know. Joe, I was pointing to a tissue. I thought you wanted a tissue. That's what I was pointing to, Joe.
Okay. I've got all sorts of variety of things. I don't know.
Yes, the tissue was the one thing I didn't want to mention on the air, but yeah, I don't get violent. I've never gotten into a drunken brawl.
Really?
I've taken a drunken nap. I've drunkenly puked. I've drunkenly driven.
I've gotten banned from the London pub for fighting about three times. You know?
Were you sober or drunk?
I drunk, but there was one night my buddy Mike is one of my good friends. He lived in Maryland, so he goes, "Come on down. Can you give me a lift from Maryland and help me bring my stuff back up? We'll go out party and stuff like that." So I worked that day. It was a Saturday. I worked that day, installed about 12 sections of fence. Get home, get in the car, drive to Maryland. We're hanging out drinking, and now my buddy gets unruly outside. And these guys come up, "Hey, man." And he's messing with this one guy. And, you know, his buddies come up and goes, "You guys got a problem? You got a problem? You want to go right now?" So I grab the lead guy and I go, "Can I talk to you for a second?" "Yeah, what's your problem?" I go, "Listen to me." I go, "Nobody loves a bar fight more than me. Been banned about four times from my own place." But I go, "I worked all day. I drove 4 hours down here and I'm tired." I go, is there like a certificate that you kicked our ass that I could sign? Or you want to play checkers? Or you want to, what do you want to do here?"
But we ain't going to fight.
"You want to arm? What do you want to do?" He just looks so dumbfounded. He goes, "Just take your buddy out here, man."
I think the only thing that was left was, "Hey, man, can we rock, paper, scissors this out?"
That was in the cards, too. I says, any contest you want to have, I love fighting, but I just...
"Can I sign something where you say you kicked his ass?" Yeah. "How about we don't, and just say we did?"
And I even told him, "I go, look, we could fight." And he goes, "Oh, you kicked the guys." "Yeah, those guys were tired. It really wasn't fair. Then you gotta go with that and deal with that."
I don't think when they're telling the story, they say, "Well, these guys were really rowdy."
But if there was the buddies there, you know, your buddies go, "Oh, no, man, those guys were tired." Guy even said, "So why do you do that? So let's sign an affidavit or something like that." So I took myself out of that fight.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never seen that side of you before.
Yeah.
Was I
hanging in the conch? No.
Were you what?
Hanging in the conch. That's a code for Ron Conkama.
Oh, somebody wrote that?
Yeah, Trucker Tom.
Oh, okay. Look at Trucker Tom knowing stuff about Long Island.
Yes.
So these are all things about, like, stupidity, that, you know, by dying by atomic wedgie. That's what makes this story so
right. Interesting.
I mean, can we look forward to death by purple nurple? Even just twisting and twisting. Okay. That's smart.
Now, what do you think is worse, an atomic wedgie or purple nurple? Or let's, you know what? Let's just put the purple nurple and the normal regular regulation wedgie on there. What do you think? I think purple nurple's a lot more.
A purple nurple is definitely worse than a regular wedgie. Because a nurple can cause cancer.
A nurple can cause
cancer?
That's
what my mom used to say. Like, if you were bruised, it could cause cancer. I don't know.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know. Yeah, that is there a difference between a purple nurple and a titty twister? Aren't they the same?
I think so.
But a nurple may be a little bit more vicious because you get that. They made up a word for it.
Yeah, a purple nurple.
You gotta.
Was there a focus group of bullies? Like there was a bully. All right, you guys, sit down. We're going to do a titty twister or purple nurple. I like titty twister. I like purple nurple more. All right, well, come on. We got to draw straws. We got the weak kids to beat the hell out of.
You know, somewhere, there's a person who created the purple nurple.
Yes.
Both the act and the word.
Yes.
And we use this, and they get no credit.
They get no credit at all.
They should have royalties.
I'm sure he could have been in the Bully Hall of Fame, but he gets nothing.
That would be awesome.
He's an unsung hero bully.
Do you think other bullies go, that's a guy I like?
Yeah, that's the guy.
Well, I mean, you know, it used to be back in the day, you would get a purple nurple. Now you get shot.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take the nurple over the shooting.
Absolutely. Nurple over bullet. Yeah, nurple.
So, all right, atomic wedgie or purple nurple?
Atomic wedgie or purple nurple? I would go. Oh boy, that's a good one. Jesus
Christ.
Well,
these are the type of hard hitting questions we ask.
Jesus Christ.
I'll go first. I think the atomic wedgie is worse because now you probably have interior damage to yourself because something's going to bleed, and you've also ruined a good pair of underwear. And how are you going to get that out? Now you got to dig. Now there's insult to injury. You're walking funny.
Yeah.
You got your underoos up your buttocks.
Yeah.
You probably.
If you got wearing underoos, you deserve the atomic wedgie.
Really?
Yes.
The people who give atomic wedgies are of underoo age.
You're defending underoos.
I used to have underoos.
You used to wear underoos.
Last week. No, you never wore underoos?
I never wore underoos.
Was that before your time?
It was before my time.
All right. Or your mom didn't love you.
No, my mom loved me, but I didn't wear underoos.
Everybody wore underoos.
I didn't wear underoos.
And look how you turned out.
Yeah, well, the better for it.
I am pro underoos.
Yeah, okay.
I wish I could wear them.
I remember the commercial, underoos are fun to wear. They're not normal underwear, something like that.
They're not normal underwear?
I forgot that.
So you don't remember it.
I remember how the tune went, but I forgot some of the lyrics.
So what's your answer?
Right. I'd rather have a nurple.
You'd rather have a nurple?
Yes.
Why is that?
For reasons that you gave, where there could be a damage to the old undercarriage. However,
ye old undercarriage.
And sometimes it grabs onto a couple of things that are dangling there. Now you're dealing with the groin pain. Now, groin pain, compared to a nurple pain, is a lot worse. Because there's nothing worse than getting nailed in the nuts. And when your nuts
a chick can get atomic wedgied.
It's
going to smart for them, too.
But for a guy, let's say we're men. We're men. So let's go with that aspect. I would say once that wedgie touches the crotch area, that when you get kneed in the nads or anything going with the nads, that hurts immensely. More so than a nurple. So I would go with the nurple.
Nurple. Even with the cancer risks.
Yeah.
What?
From your Surgeon General mom. Yes, I would even with the...
Well, I mean, she clearly was not there when Michael Douglas was with his wife.
I understand. I'm sure her other health announcements. Wear a sweater. I understand.
Because you can catch a chill.
You can catch a chill.
It could be the death of me. Look, I bet Pip Helix did not wear a sweater.
She most certainly did not.
That's why she's always sick.
Yes.
Girls got illness. All right. Wet Willy. That has been done to me.
What is the Wet Willy?
You don't know what the Wet Willy is?
No.
It's when you stick your finger in your mouth, swish it around like so, find another person's ear, stick it in the ear, and swirl.
I like the way and swirl. That's the finishing touch. You got to do the swirl, or you take all the effect off.
Well, it's the Olympic season. You have to. It's all in the dismount.
And swirl.
And swirl. It's gross. It's gross. And now you have a chilly ear, because for some reason, when it's a wet ear, it's a cold ear.
Yeah, but still, I mean, saliva in the ear, I could deal. Well, I mean, given a choice, I mean,
saliva in the ear.
Yeah. I mean, it's gross, but you really, you can't really get an infection or anything like
that. Well, I mean, if you think about it, sometimes people nibble in their ear or they lick somebody's ear.
Yeah, but if you just...
Have you ever had somebody lick your ear?
I think so.
Yeah, I have. I'm just remembering this now, and it's like termites are invading your head.
I don't like that.
No, it's very noisy.
Yeah, it bugs the shit out of me. Yeah, I don't like it.
But it's supposed to be sensual.
Not to me, no.
So you want nothing in your ear?
Nothing in my ear.
But you would rather have a wet willy over a purple nurple?
Yes, absolutely.
So I think we say a
less pain. Less pain. There's more.
There's really no pain. It's kind of humiliating.
Right. It's
the kid will try to.
Like the honor of getting a purple nurple.
No. Look at this. Look at this. Nurple, 86. When I was your age, we got purple nurple, and we liked it.
We were men about it.
Well, there was no crying when your nurple was purpled. So I think in the ranking order, Wet Willie, the least of the offensive.
Yes.
The purple nurple number two, and the most heinous of these abuses of the person, the atomic wedgie.
Atomic wedgie. In my book, the atomic wedgie, when that rascal gets over that groin area, that's where the pain, that's where the center of the pain is going to be.
Something's ripping.
Something's ripping. Something's getting crushed. Something's getting, yeah.
Dreams.
Dream.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? And here's the last thing on this. Then we'll take our break. When that happens, you really want to be wearing clean underwear.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you were just out working all day and you got your sweaty drawers on and now that's over your nose, now it's insult to injury.
I'm going to wear my sweaty drawers.
These are the drawers I sweat in.
It's time for sweaty drawers.
All right. Well, we are going to take our break. We're going to, when we come back, we will break some news that we think will make the papers. We're hoping. It should. It should if you guys tell people about it. It will, and we have the evidence of everything we say. We're going to play a little Race Odyssey. This is brand new Race Odyssey, Joe?
Actually, what this is from our first CD. We're working. We just did the videos for this stuff. We're picking up where we left off because we were in the M band for a while. So we just picked it off. We got this band back together again. These are off of our Rock and Roll the Way It Ought to Be, Rock and Roll the Way It Ought to Be. And we're starting to work on our second album.
So this is off the album we've played before.
Yeah, we've actually played before. But these are the videos. You can find the videos on Race Odyssey, Race Odyssey page, my page. And we're starting to work on the new album next month.
Yay. Yep. All right. So listen, we'll be back in 10 minutes, but enjoy some Race Odyssey Joe on keyboard.
It is time for a prop duel! That is right, prop duel of Davin's Den. We are not tired. We are ready to roll to give you some more extra. So stick around with Davin and Pip and Joe as the party continues. There is no reason to leave. Sit down. Kick back. Take off your shoes. Phew. Phew. Okay. Okay. Put shoes back on. They stink. Okay. So what was I saying? Oh, yes. Stick around for extra because we are here at Davin's Den for part two.
And we are back. You are listening to Davin's. And sorry about that glitch, folks. We just figured out what makes our fickle broadcaster, Sam, crap out. And that's what it is. We have to be very nice to Sam. Sam holds grudges.
Yeah, we do.
Careful with that microphone, Joe.
Yeah,
what happened was, it doesn't really matter what happened. Before the break, we were doing our love fail countdown. We talked about geese. And we were talking about atomic wedgies and drunken stories and Joe's acrobatics with wasps fighting them off. And then we listened to some Race Odyssey before everything hit the fan.
Yeah.
Are most of the people still with us?
We still got people with us. Thank you for hanging out with us during that little intermission that we had. Also, I'd like to thank Eric Suki and the Suki Lounge Show for playing Race Odyssey as well tonight. They're playing it as well, so I'd like to thank Eric. We're going to try to do...
Is your mic on, Joe? Turn on your... Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. Uh-oh. All right, if it craps out, I'll be right back. Here we go. Wait, you know what? Hold on. No, don't do that. Here's what we're going to do. Nobody's calling tonight.
You are going to use this. Hold on. 1 second.
We are switching microphones so things do not crap out. Talk now, Joe.
Okay, I think that works.
Yes, there we go. Yeah, so... That would have been tragic if we had a reboot again. But yes, so Joe is now up and running. We are up and running perfectly. So yeah, who do you want to give a shout out to?
Eric Suki and the Suki Lounge Show and those guys on New Regal Radio.com. Check his show out. He's a really good dude. He's playing us tonight. And we were gonna try to do a simulcast thing, but it was a last minute thing. And as you can see, we can't even figure out the tech on our own show tonight. So it's
well, I just saved us going off the air again. Yeah.
So without Pip, it's been a little rough. But one night we'll do that. So thanks to Eric for playing Race Odyssey as well for me.
So do you want to do the huge national news first or the other national news that was like a huge story like a couple months ago that was in the papers again? The Avalos.
I want to do the Avalos story.
All right.
First.
Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna start with our original newsmaker.
Yeah.
The Juliana Avalos versus Match.com.
Yes.
Remember, she was the named plaintiff against Match.com for $1.5 billion. She was the face of one of my scammers. She was somebody who we've been checking out for a long time and communicating with for a long time. Mm. And then she decided to sue Match.com for $1.5 billion.
Yes.
And her lawyer called me up and was very unhappy that I had evidence against her. And extremely unhappy that I had filed a report with the FBI. And then Avalos' boyfriend pretty much said that the lawyer was a chump and was afraid and afraid of us. And then a few hours later, I got a very nice email from that lawyer. Thank you for your time. This was after FU.
Yeah, because he realized he's got dumbbells as clients.
Exactly. So what happened was Juliana was the lead plaintiff in a $1.5 billion lawsuit. Mm-hmm. Juliana has been dropped as the lead plaintiff in the case. Now, here's the thing. So Evan Spencer, he's the attorney. He filed new papers, and he said that that she was no longer the lead plaintiff because since filing, she had been defamed and harassed.
Mm.
Okay. If being defamed is bringing to light the truth,
yes,
then yes. Harassed, not even a little bit. I know that's your story, but the fact of the matter is, I have her phone number. I've had her for months. I've never used her. I don't call her up. Most of the recent conversations, except for the very last one, was her reaching out to me.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to talk to me, and you would not let her, which, as her counsel, is your right.
Right.
But, no, she wanted to get her side out there. So she wasn't defamed and harassed. You said if the allegations I had were true, you would remove her from the case. That's what you said in the last email. I have that. Actually, it's up on the website, davinsden.com, under right. Busted. You can see that. So, I'm just trying to catch up where I was here. So, anyway, so after she was removed, the papers were filed on the 24th, but I just found out about this week. After she was removed, I reached out to Ms. Avalos to see if she now wanted to talk to us. Because maybe she's not involved in the case.
Right.
I thought, well, I didn't hear back. So I think she's still involved in the case. We actually have not been able to get a straight answer on that. But anyway, so Match.com has hired outside counsel, because for a while they were not. Melissa Midwest is the new plaintiff.
Melissa Midwest.
A porn star whose claim to fame was being top 10 search on the internet at one point. That's her claim to fame. She's also been arrested for public nudity.
Well, at least they got a more reputable character on there now.
Sure. Yes, right. So now we have somebody. I'm not even gonna. So with the new plaintiff came another $3 billion in punitive charges. I've had to file again. This is clearly
it cost me money.
This is clearly $3 billion worth of work.
$3 billion. Who is he, Dr. Evil?
So now we're up to $4.5 billion lawsuit against Match.com. $4.5 billion.
That's like the. That's like the GP, the GNP of a whole bunch of GNP of a lot of small countries.
Oh, there you go. It's a lot more than that.
Yeah,
but you know these people have been wronged. So Spencer's also tightened up the Clay case. He's included a lot more charges. So he figured, you know, Match pay for that.
Right.
He had to do, you know, he had to print out more paper. And now he's now looking at the new papers. He has a chance for settlement though. But there are some things to that you wonder. If this is not about publicity, why would he continue to use porn stars, which are controversial, instead of using soldiers, which he named soldiers have been used on Match.com?
Wouldn't you be smart to get some soldiers together that feel like they've been wronged and have them in the suit?
That would be the
a lot more credibility.
Why wouldn't you have them be the face of the suit?
Idiots. They're scum.
Because you know what? You see $4.5 billion, you're already laughing your nuts off.
Yes.
You see porn stars, now you're really laughing. If you saw soldiers, which America rallies behind no matter what political affiliation, right. You go, ha, oh, well, this shouldn't happen to those guys.
Right.
Maybe we'll root for them now.
Exactly.
Instead, everybody's rooting against them because they see ambulance chasers and almost famous porn stars that are no longer in the peak of the game. Let's face it, 31 Melissa Midwest, you're not what you used to be. You're worn out.
A billion-dollar lawsuit.
No, no. Four and a half.
$4.5 billion lawsuit. So you're going to have a porn star lead it.
Yes. Well, yeah, you had a washed-up bikini model.
How could you be so stupid?
I don't know, but this is the. But apparently, they are now. There's also rumors that his office is a pay pride by the hour office, like he rents space. But I don't know.
Right.
I saw that someplace. I'm not saying that's the case. I just thought it was pretty funny when I saw
that. That was the lawyer or the guy?
The lawyer.
The lawyer, really?
Yeah, yeah. The 14th floor on a store in a building in Broadway. That was like because there was an ad for that place where you could like get by the hour or
by
the
day.
Great. Now you're working at the same wages that your plaintiffs do.
Yes.
By the hour. Perfect.
Oy.
So, yeah. So I don't understand why he hasn't gone that route. It makes no sense. Also, if they're concerned about their photos, why wouldn't they watermark them? Now, I know you can edit out watermarks and everything, but here's the thing about scammers. Scammers are going for the quick grab.
Right.
Because there's plenty of people that don't do things. There are ways where you can save an image, like in quarters and everything, so they would only take like a little bit of a time instead of the whole thing, or you can layer it so they would only like see the foreground stuff. So, yes, you can get around that if you're really good at that type of stuff. Your average scammer is going for the quick grab. They're not trying to mess around with all this stuff. Right. They want a pretty – that's why they're going to porn sites because they – all right, there'll be somebody attractive there. We'll get some people.
Right, right.
Same thing with the soldiers. Now, once the picture's already out there, there's nothing you could do. But why not take these protections? Now, I went on to a forum that was for the porn industry.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Go F Yourself, without the, which is pretty much what they told me to do. Because I figured this. I figured we've had a lot of success working with the military.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of success working with civilians working together and actually making progress to stop the scammers. Maybe these people would want to help and be productive. Instead, they would just rather come up with excuses of why they can't do anything.
Right.
You know. They have no they get defensive. They have no interest in trying to protect their models' pictures. They just want to say, "Oh, it got stolen." It's remarkable.
Of course. Well, they don't care about them,
but it's their industry.
They don't really. They get women in there. They exploit women having sexual acts, and they're going to have morals.
I expected more from the porn industry. I was wrong.
Yes.
So. The complaint, like I said, it's much better than the original one, although there are some curious things that I'd like to go over with you, Joe. Melissa's fake profiles and other plaintiffs' profiles are reason most people join and resubscribe to Match.com and their other sites. All right, let me slow that down. Are the reason that people join and resubscribe. But they're all fake profiles. So all these are fake profiles. Go, you know what? I had a good time getting nowhere with that chick. Let's sign up again for $40 a month. It makes no sense. You can't have it both ways.
It's false advertising.
No, but that's what he's saying Match.com is doing.
Mm.
But he's saying is Match.com puts these people on there for false advertising, and the vast majority of these profiles are fake, which is why people join.
Right.
Okay. But if you say that, you can also say it's the reason why people resubscribe. That's what I'm saying. Once the profile's fake, you're not going, you know what, I like that. I like sending $10,000.
It's fun to pretend.
Exactly.
You know, you're right, exactly.
You can't have it both ways, Evan Spencer.
Right.
I don't know what you're thinking. Well, you're not. All right. So he said this also totally diminishes the value of real profiles on Match.com. Really? Does it really? Are you really doing it for the innocent people?
Yeah, you could care less.
So, Melissa's photos are copyrighted. Melissa has received hundreds of... This is coming from her representative. Melissa has received hundreds of complaints from scam victims who have lost millions of dollars over this time. So, if they're copyrighted, why is she waiting till now? Why now? Because... And her representative said, Spencer came to her to be represented. If you've been hearing this over years and you're really concerned about this, why are you waiting for this ambulance chaser? Why aren't you doing something about it?
You're not, because it's not that big of a deal.
You're looking at free money.
Yeah. But it's not big. Yeah. And you're not thinking it's a big of a deal till you could smell that there's $4.1 billion.
Well, $4.5 billion.
$4.5 billion.
By the way, the half is $500 million. So it's not like, oh, it's 50 cents. No, it's $500 million. It's $500 million.
A lot of money.
It is a lot of money. Powerball loves that type of stuff. So attaches a list. This has come from the complaint. Attaches a list of 121 FakeMatch.com profiles, including photographs of Raven Riley. See Wikipedia.
Raven.
Really? Really?
Really? She's got a Wikipedia page.
Is that what somebody
Raven
wrote?
Raven Riley.
Yeah. Somebody wrote about her. When you're putting Wikipedia in your complaint, I can't take you seriously. That you can't find her anyplace else. She doesn't have a website, but she's so valuable that the only place you could find her is Wikipedia.
Go to Wikipedia.
Are you kidding me, Evan Spencer? If I'm the judge, I go, get out of here.
Oh,
go.
Yeah. You're going to have a field day with this.
Oh, God. So he goes on to list a bunch of porn stars whose pictures have been used by fake profiles. That's what he does. Those are all his named plaintiffs. All porn stars. But they're not even mainstream porn stars. It's like porn stars, you know, you got to look for them. You know, you get them on the cams or whatever. Or they,
right, right.
I mean, this isn't the main. This isn't the ones being used by Vivid Video.
Right.
Which I guess is the creme de la creme. This isn't.
Yeah, so to speak.
This isn't Playboy Playmates we're talking about.
Right.
People are writing back to me. I don't care what's going on in there. People are like, don't tell them this. Don't tell them. Shut up. Settle your own problems. I'm not paying attention to you people right now. People are talking. I'm happy the tech is working properly.
Yeah. Let us roll with when it's working.
Please, let us do our show. I'm as shocked as you are.
Yes.
But the point is, Joe, the fact that we came out there and stuck a thumb out and said, slow your roll, and publish what we've published on davinsden.com, which you could go under the busted section, has slowed them down.
Yes.
And this might not be over yet, because we still don't really know if she's part of the lawsuit or not. I'm 90% sure she is.
I'm 90% sure she is. She probably got a diminished role. And he said, look, you're catching a little flack, plus we got these dumbbells approving a lot of this nonsense that you're doing, so you better lay low. So what we'll do, we'll get a porn star, Mindy Midwest, or whatever her name is.
What is her name? Melissa.
Susie Southeast. Whatever the hell it is.
Susie South. I'm going to stick by Florida in her.
Yeah, get Susie Southeast in there. She'll,
Susie South.
Whatever the hell her name is.
That's funny.
But they don't get anybody with any credibility.
Oh, Joe, are you besmirching porn stars?
$28 billion. Yes.
But that's the thing. Nobody cares about porn stars.
No.
The guy's such an ambulance chaser. The guy's so ill-equipped to handle this type of thing. Because I've said, if you look at the complaint, there's actually some valid things in there. He stumbles upon valid things. More now.
He
the second
stumbles.
This guy is so inept, so quick to rush for the money. The stuff I found on your lead plaintiff, Juliana Avalos, you should have found the first time.
Right.
Before you hitched your wagon to it. Now, your lead plaintiff, Melissa Midwest, has been arrested for public nudity. Not only is she a porn star, she's a porn star with a record. I mean, you, Evan Spencer, you're not very good at this. I didn't even finish law school. I could do a better job.
And the thing about this is that you sit there and you go, who would hire this guy? And you answered my question. I was thinking that when you were talking, and you answered the question. They're all out. For a quick buck.
That's what it is.
So much so for a quick buck, they're not using one iota of common sense to figure this out. You know, and it just, I can't wait till this gets in front of a court of law, because it's just going to get...
Well, they want... DJ from Talk Superstation, Nora by Northwest.
Nora by
Northwest. I like that, Nora by Northwest.
And
I
then
like
all the... they go down south.
Nettie from the Northeast. Yeah. Good Lord. Melissa Midwest. Really? You plow in the whole Midwest, are you?
Yeah, it's like, who's going to represent you? And now we got Melissa Midwest.
It's just so stupid. Oh. It's so stupid. If there are legitimately soldiers, and I believe there are fake soldier profiles on Match.com. I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
Why not contact them? These guys have been wrong. Why not go the? Why not get the public on your side?
You know why? Because they would probably want, because they would have to give these soldiers a portion of that, which they're
a class action suit. They're all supposed, who's ever part of this class action suit is supposed to get some money.
But there's probably so many people in there that are not aware of it. They figure if they start bringing people in, legit people, now they're going to want money and stuff like
that. Are you
that.
Saying Raven Riley from Wikipedia is not legit?
Are
you saying Nikki Next Door? Yeah, she's one of the named plaintiffs. I'm not kidding. It's not me trying to be funny because we know I would fail.
Nikki Next Door.
It's one. Right,
it's got to be Nikki Next Door.
Right. She's a writer. You can go see her. She's right there.
Nikki Next Door.
Really, Evan Spencer? With your stupid AOL email address that you put out there for everybody? Really? You can't even fake it and get a website that that leads to your email address? Yes. With your stupid WordPress site? Really? You're the one that people are pinning their hopes and dreams on. They deserve each other. And I'm not sure this is over yet.
They're all meant for each other, to tell you the truth.
Oh, God. And like I said, I don't have anything in it. There are things that Match.com could certainly do a lot better, which I would like to see them do better.
Right.
To fight scamming and everything.
Right.
But when you bring this type of lawsuit with these type of people, it diminishes what is really going on. Because now you're a laughingstock.
Exactly. And this is what this is now, is a laughingstock.
Yeah.
And this guy calls
when the porn industry is laughing at you.
The guy calls you up, lays into you, says, "You don't know what you started, my friend." Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. You're going to start to see it, too.
By the way, when he put the thing with the Wikipedia, when I saw that, when I was looking on that on Sunday morning, because I have his email address, because he's emailed me a few times, I never respond. I almost wanted to quote that and go, really? Really? Wikipedia? Did you get all your info from the interwebs? Is that how you do all your research? Well, there was a guy who knows a guy who told me that this might be the truth. Here's the thing: what you need to understand, Evan Spencer, there are allegations against your original lead plaintiff of Juliana Avalos, which people have made to me, which I have not come forward with yet because I have not gotten all the concrete evidence that I need to put it out there. Because what I do is I make sure I have all my ducks in a row before I stick my ass out there.
Right.
So, Spencer, you screwed up, buddy, and I'm not sure if this is over yet. I'm not sure if this
you
is
wouldn't
over.
Just get on the phone and call up Sally Sue Southwest to come in and handle things.
And you know, if I had defamed her and what I said wasn't true, there'd be a lawsuit.
Absolutely. Those guys would come after you. So, and
for $4.5 billion.
So much so that, you know, look at the proof that we have. So much so that it's rock solid, and we have nothing to lose by calling them out because they have nothing to call us on.
Let's put it this way. The proof that we have, and we haven't published it all yet, the proof that we have is certainly enough to pique the IRS interest to see what exactly is going on. Certainly enough, you would think, for the authorities, the FBI, to look. And the FBI wouldn't act when I did it. But when Match.com gets a hold of it, there might be problems for you. You really should have done right by your client. Go, you know what, sit this one out.
Right.
You got too much stuff going on. But when your boyfriend wants to admit on several occasions that you're taking money from Nigerian scammers for your pictures, who am I to keep that quiet?
There's really no quality control with them, you know? It's just...
By the way, we do like Miss Avalos because she is the singer of our punishment song.
Yes. We put her to work.
All right. So here we go. Should we do the break in the news?
Yes.
All right, here's the thing. First, I got to say the report I'm about to make is not mine alone. I've done a lot of the work. I'm the mouthpiece of it. But there's been a lot of contributions from people. There's several people who I am not naming, who if they come forward and they want to be named, I will certainly include them as this goes on, who've done work for this. But I thought maybe it wasn't in their best interest, or I just didn't go into it in depth because I did not want to discuss this with a lot of people. But I know who you are, and if you approach me, I will certainly do right by you and make sure that you are named to contributing to this, because it's not about glory or fame. All right, these are the named contributors. There's four of them. These four people have helped me in various ways: Rhonda Asher, Cheryl College, Rollo Gillespie, and Rich Munson. Rhonda Asher, Cheryl College, Rollo Gillespie, and Rich Munson. They've worked with me on this in various ways, whether it be providing information or helping me sort stuff out and everything. So those people are the ones. And again, you know, obviously, I've put a lot of work into this too. Let me set the groundwork here. All right, this takes place. This starts on a anti-scamming Facebook website called Nigerian Scammers Get Off Facebook, which is run by Elizabeth Bischel. We've talked about her before
many a time
before any of this ever happened. Quick recap of what she's about. Why we don't have problems with her. She has told her group that scammers were not dangerous, when in fact we know they can be, because some of them are tied to organized crime and terrorism, and you don't know if they have part of their organization in a town near you. I mean, we've had my conversations with my scammer, and he doesn't seem like a fun guy.
No.
So she told her group that scammers were not dangerous. She's also told a group that hackers can't hack you unless you give them the information. Tell that to Target. That's the whole point of being a hacker.
Right.
You know how to get information.
Right.
Yeah, yes. Here's the thing, Elizabeth. If you tell me your information and I use it against you, I haven't hacked you. You're a dumbass.
Yes.
If you think your information is secure and somebody else still gets it, you've been hacked. So you might want to know that. She tried to get the real Raymond F. Chandler III Facebook profile off Facebook because she thought it was fake. This guy's a real high-ranking official. Anybody with half a brain could see that this is a real army person. One of her things was, he's got over 50,000 likes. I wonder how he did it. Because she thought he was a scammer. I was alerted to this. And I, along with several other people, had to alert people who were actually contacting Facebook to get this real profile off. Stop. This is the real thing. So she can't recognize the real thing.
Right.
She can't recognize the real thing. And when you do that, it makes a mockery of the people that have really studied this, that are good at identifying scammers and everything. It makes a mockery when you go to Facebook with this type of stupidity.
Right.
She told her people that SurfEasy, which, for full disclosure, is our client, would not protect your online identity and would, in fact, give your computer a virus. When, in fact, independent reviews say it's a great product. I presented her with these independent reviews. Anyway, not by me, by places like Amazon and computer magazines and people who've used it. It's a great product. When I showed her those reviews, she deleted them from her page. She did not want the people who she's charged with protecting, and Nigerian scammers get off Facebook, to have this product. Oh, wait, I actually forgot to play the music. You know what? I have to give SurfEasy a plug.
No.
I forgot. Where is it? SurfEasy. SurfEasy is great for protecting your online identity and safety. Keeps you anonymous.
Yes.
Go to SurfEasy.com to learn more. I forgot to play the music, Joe. I suck. But
no,
yeah,
we're running a lot of things tonight.
Yeah, we are. It's been rough as far as that goes. So yeah, so there's SurfEasy, we've had our own people tell us they use SurfEasy.
What a great product it is.
Exactly. And I don't know if you're trying to protect the people in your group, why you wouldn't let them do this. Because a lot of them do talk to scammers, whether they're trying to bait them or they don't know it or anything, and they're exposing themselves. This hides your IP address. SurfEasy is a great product if you're going to immerse yourself in this type of activity. All right. So things changed. Oh, wait. Her claim to fame, Elizabeth Bishop's claim to fame up until very recently, was she got a Nigerian man to pose naked when she scam baited him. That was the big thing. Yeah, it's fun. It's always fun to see a big Nigerian schlong. Who doesn't like to?
Yeah, but it's like, you know, she's a chick once, you know, it's a woman's asking, you know, to take a guy, you know, oh, God, I can't even talk tonight. If a woman is, you know, seducing a guy, and I think she probably was in that instance, you know, a guy probably took his clothes off.
Yeah, well, she tricked him and everything, and everybody had a good chuckle. That was her big thing. That was her big contribution to anti-scamming.
Right.
This all changed 6 weeks ago. Enter Kelly DeWitt. Kelly Ann DeWitt is the Public and Congressional Affairs Headquarters, works at the Public and Congressional Affairs Headquarters, U.S. Army Material Command Building in Redstone Arsenal, Alabama. Hmm. What she is former military, who now works for the Army as a civilian. So she's in a capacity as a trusted agent. Do you know what a trusted agent is, Joe?
Yeah, somebody that's trusted.
Thank you, Joe.
What else could it be?
Well, they have a specific...
She's got clearance and probably got clearance and all that.
A trusted agent is somebody who works for the Army with Facebook, direct to Facebook. Their job is to remove profiles of scammers pretending to be officers.
Nice.
So your generals, that type of thing, your colonels. That's who they're supposed to remove. Now, by U.S. Army veteran Rich Munson's account, there are at least 50 such trusted agents working in this country, and that's just in the Army. Okay. So the question you have to ask yourself, why does Facebook need to work with the Army when nobody can determine a fake profile better than Facebook? I mean, if you're Facebook and you see everybody who's registered, you don't have to get instantaneous access.
Right.
You don't automatically have a profile. You go, oh, this guy says he's living in Afghanistan. Funny. Why does his IP address show Nigeria?
Right.
And not going to allow you a profile. Right. Pretty simple to do.
Well, if you're looking for it.
If you're looking. Well, if the choice is, we can do this ourselves as a publicly traded company, which people trust and put, for some reason, put all their lives out there, or we could let Big Army come in, the government, into our business and oversee it. What are you going to do?
If it's helping cut expenses and the Army's going to do it.
But you're opening yourself up to this because people don't want to think that big government's overreaching. That's what this is. So now you have the U.S. Army working with Facebook to determine fake profiles. So they got Big Brother doing their job. She is charged. A trusted agent is charged with removing very specific profiles. This is the email that we obtained from Kelly DeWitt explaining what she does. Here's the deal. A few months ago, Big Army made a deal with Facebook to allow a handful of PAOs at four-star HQs to direct report Facebook to eliminate scammers.
Now, what's a PAO?
Public Affairs Officer. Mm-hmm. So a handful of public affairs officers at four-star headquarters. Those are the big ones. That's why Rich Munson figured out about 50, 60, and that's just the Army in the U.S. That's not counting overseas. Whatever. I'm that PAO for my command. Although I think they are only meant for us to go after people posing as senior leadership, no one really set guidelines for me. So I started helping the guys at Stolen Valor. That's another Facebook site. Mm-hmm. Feel free to vet me there on posts. I go by KD. Then I added a couple of other groups to my list, and I started deleting profiles from those as well. Patty and Ash have recently added me as an admin on their site, where I'm Katie. If you want, start messaging me or emailing me links. I can get them deleted, usually within 48 hours. Elizabeth B's group is the one I went to first. That's Nigerian Scammers Get Off Facebook. And those ladies have been providing links left and right. But that group has issues, which I'm sure you've seen. Despite drama, I typically pull and delete 200 to 300 scam profiles a day there.
Wow. What? Really?
Yeah. The ladies typically send me fake profiles through PM, private message, multiple URLs at a time with no additional text works best. As I have to copy and paste them onto a Word document before I copy and paste them onto a form for Facebook. You can do that if it's easiest for you, or you can email me, and she gives her private email address, which I don't typically check her military email address. When you lose your She said she can also verify folks' names against the AKO if you want. From what I understand, all right, so here's a couple things. So first of all, she's going to these civilian groups. Who haven't been trained. She's saying, I don't have guidelines. Nobody's trained her. She hasn't been trained. She doesn't have guidelines. She has vague guidelines. She's going past that. She's reaching out to civilians. She knows this one group has problems. She's still continuing to take profiles from this group because that group is full of drama. And here's the thing. You cannot seriously check 200 to 300 profiles a day. It takes more than just looking at a picture and a couple of words to see if somebody's really a scammer. There's much more involved than that.
I don't think I think this whole thing with the technology is pretty new to the Army, and they really don't know how to deal with it, so much so that they probably don't even know what kind of guidelines to write.
Now here's the problem with that. There are people that do know how to do this. And they know of these people because they've endorsed these various websites. We're endorsed. There's other anti-scamming websites which the Army has endorsed. Why not bring in one of those people and have them train you what to look for? Why just send somebody who doesn't know what they're doing out there where she can just do whatever she wants?
Because I think the Army is on the assumption that she probably does know what she's doing. I think the Army has a lot of other things on their plate than this. Now, I'm not diminishing any way this situation, but I'm just, I'm being like the devil's advocate here. I think the Army they're fighting a war, they're doing this, and this is just like a nuisance that they're just trying to get rid of, and they're not putting much effort into it or much foresight into it.
But you have to, because here's the thing. The Army is not allowed to target U.S. civilians. There's civilians, 200 to 300, you can't vet 200 to 300 profiles a day, and we have evidence of more than that. Right. You can't, and I will give the evidence very shortly, but you can't properly vet it. You know what it's like, Joe, because you talk about the training? It's like sticking me in the tank and go, fire away. That's what it's like.
Yeah.
You got to train somebody, and the fact that there are not these set guidelines, the fact that she knows there are guidelines, but it's like, yeah, forget about it. I'm going to do my own thing. The fact that she continues to work with a group where she knows there's issues... and has no problems about it. That's an issue for me. The fact that there are anti-scamming Facebook pages that have been endorsed by the Army's operational security, and she's not reaching out to them instead of this group, which is a joke, if you did your research, what's that tell you?
Does she get audited? Does she have to testify in front of anybody?
She might after this.
Yeah.
I don't know. But basically what's going on, the way it goes is, the websites, the anti-scam websites, give her a bunch of lists.
Mm-hmm.
She checks it out half-assed because you really can't do it for 200 to 300 people a day. And then she sends it to Facebook, and they go bye-bye. That's the process. That is the process. And again, Facebook has farmed this out to the government when they should be taking care of business themselves.
The only thing, it's you got two big bureaucratic conglomerates there. You know, I don't know if the
Army's not allowed to do this. They're not allowed to be looking at U.S. civilians, and they don't know where these people are from because they're not doing the problem. You, if to find out if somebody's in a foreign country, it takes more than where they say they're in from on Facebook.
Right.
You know, you actually need an IP address. Even an IP address could be a proxy, but it's certainly a better indication. I know one of the ways when I want to verify when I'm actually talking to a scammer is I have them email me.
Right.
And then I can look at the big header and everything. I can say, huh, Malaysia. Well, I don't think that's a soldier.
Mm.
You know, I don't think that's a model living in Virginia. I mean, this is stuff that you can do. That's a very basic thing you can do,
right.
and it takes time.
I guess they just have to have a lot more guidelines in on that, you know?
They certainly do,
yeah.
And Facebook should not allow this. This is a publicly traded company. There's no mandate. When the phone companies were told that by Obama that they're going to have to store the information,
mm-hmm.
you know, like Verizon and everything, we all knew about it.
Right.
Nobody knows about this.
Right, right.
So, all right.
Well, in that point, yeah, Facebook should get a lot more proactive on it. But a lot of, you know, how come Western Union's not getting proactive? How come?
But how come I have?
And I'm not, it's just everybody seems to be so lazy, you know.
How come I have a group of civilians who can do this for free? For free, who can find a scammer, and they know it doesn't take, you can't do 200 to 300 in a day. How come they can do this, and these people spend their hours doing it, and they're not getting paid for it, and we got DeWitt, who's getting paid for it, farming it out to the civilians.
Mm.
Basically, what her job is right now, what she does, is cut and paste and send.
Mm.
That's basically how Kelly DeWitt decides her job. We're paying for it!
Yes.
Beautiful. Mm. All right. So Rich Munson offers this to Kelly DeWitt. If you need someone to look at the prior list and to final disposition and verify that the profiles being removed are indeed fake, please send them to me. Rich Munson knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the best. The last thing you need in your position, and he was in the position too, is to remove soldiers' profile that is currently deployed. Some of the profiles that get sent around are actual soldiers. In fact, they tried to have my personal profile removed and called me a scammer. Not all the links they send are vetted before they report them.
Mm.
This is a fellow soldier, a fellow veteran, warning her. Listen, lady, send them to me. I'll help you with this. She's never sent them one list. Just keeps on going on her merry way. So we go on. She responds, will do. I open every account before I submit it. When in doubt, I check against the AKO. Some of them are pretty darn easy.
What's AKO?
I think that's something. I know I really don't know, but I think each soldier has an AKO.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know. I should know. People are like, why are people like Facebooking me like left and right?
They love you.
They do, but I'm trying to do a show. I'm trying to see what's going on here. Let's see. Okay, that was just Mac Daddy letting me know that we're on there. Thank you, Jim, from Mac Daddy. All right. So by the way, I do have evidence that their mission was just to remove officers. I've gotten that.
Right.
That was the mission. DeWitt went above this. Part of the problem is nobody trained her, like we talked about. The military is behind when it comes to recognizing scammers, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
She never sent any list to Rich Munson, who warned her that these people do not know what they're doing. And you can't, like we said, you can't vet that many profiles a day. Vetting a profile takes hours. So after 6 weeks, Bishop Bose 6 weeks of work, that because of her group, over 11,000 profiles have been removed. Over 11,000 profiles have been removed in 6 weeks. And nobody's trained these civilians how to identify scammers. There's been no real training.
Also, there's a good thing that was brought up here. Facebook gets paid for their advertising based on the number of active profiles. So if you've got this group pulling down profiles that are not erroneous, that's bad for Facebook.
Yeah, I think this is all bad for Facebook.
Yeah,
I'll be surprised if we still have a Facebook account tomorrow. That's when I took my stuff off Facebook. So, Bishel has already been proven to know how to identify a scammer profile with the Raymond S. Chandler. Mm-hmm. We have that. She's already proven. And that's an easy one.
Yeah.
That's the easy one. That's the beginner stuff. There is no way this many profiles could be vetted by DeWitt before sending them to Facebook. There's no way one woman could really vet 11,000 profiles in 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's impossible.
Unless you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
Which she doesn't. Why are you people pinging me? Stop pinging me. You're all pinging me. I'm trying to do a show.
Yeah. I get chewed out for having my phone on.
No, because usually people with the show, because they know I don't look at the chat.
Right.
So that's what that is. All right. In fact, Bishel actually bragged recently that they submitted over 1,400 for deletion, and they were going so fast, Facebook asked them to slow down as it was overwhelming. 1,400!
Would have been nice if Facebook asked, is this legitimate? Are these legitimate names?
They might have. I don't know. Maybe somebody who's listening who's got a little bit more.
Somebody should have. I mean, that would raise a question where if you feel that there's an average amount of names that could be removed, like in a 2 week period, let's say if you're looking at 300, or maybe 1,000, we'll be generous, 1,000, and somebody's coming to you with 3,000, you would go, look, are you really looking at these?
Well, you know, in their defense, well, it's the Army. They must know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't. Mm-hmm. And like I said, DeWitt has farmed this out to civilians who she doesn't know. The only way she knows these people is through the internet or maybe a phone call.
Right.
She doesn't know these people. Why wouldn't you use Rich Munson, who you can verify as an anti-scammer and a veteran? Why wouldn't you take him up on his offer to help you?
Because I think it's a pride thing with these people.
It could be.
They want to feel important. They want to feel self-important. They want to get that feeling of importance back and dignity that they might have lost when they got scammed themselves. And any outside interference will take that away from them. And I feel that's why they're so strongly against using this other person.
So, like I said, it's illegal for the Army to target U.S. citizens.
Mm-hmm.
The alarm on this was actually rang a while ago by Cheryl College.
Right.
Myself and others really didn't pay that much attention to it. I got to be honest with you. You know, Bishel was starting to target people and everything, and I was kind of trying to stay away from it. I was focusing on other things. I wasn't really involved,
right,
to be honest. But Cheryl College was the first one who notified me and Munson and I believe Gillespie that, you know what, this isn't right. She was the first one.
Mm.
I kind of ignored it, right? But then something happened. Bishel posted on her page, if anybody knew Dave from Dave's Den's fake profiles. I can't, even the people who hate me don't even know who I am.
They can't even get the show name right.
And then you might have seen something where I put on our Facebook page, don't F with the Den.
Right.
Because now she got my attention.
Right.
And you really should, as Avalos learned, you really don't want my attention on something.
They might get Mindy Midwest to take over for you.
Melissa Midwest. Give her the respect she deserves, damn
Sally,
it.
Sally Southwest.
Sally Southwest. Nobody wants to do Sally Southwest. Sure, you go down on it, but that's it. First of all, I'm not Dave, and I do not have fake profiles.
Dave's Den.
Dave's, why not? It's as good as Dave's. Nonetheless, this is about me, which got my attention. Because, hey. So Bishel thinks that I'm beg and steal because she had applied to join a group where Beg and Steal, I believe, was an admin, and Mr. G was an admin, and they asked me my opinion of her. I go, well, this is my experience of her. I mean, you do what you want, and word for word, they repeated that to Bishel.
Well, good.
Right, and so then Bishel immediately deleted me from her group because she thought it was me that was denying her, and she thought Beg and Steal was me. She thought I'm Beg and Steal. If you look at the things Beg and Steal post online and the things I post online, you can see they're clearly not the same people. So that so Beg and Steal's profile disappeared shortly after the threat was made against me.
Mm.
Beg and Steal's not a scammer. Beg and Steal does not pose as military or anything. The person who is the real Beg and Steal and who is still in contact with DeWitt received a message from DeWitt saying she owed him an apology. We still don't know why, but she owes him an apology. Because she knew who the real Beggin' Steel was. Mm. Why is a Bishal enemy all of a sudden disappearing when it's never scammed anybody? Mm. Kind of, once. It's one time. It could happen. Right, Joe? Things happen. Yeah. So one of the first profiles to disappear off Facebook after DeWitt and Bishal teamed up was the profile of Ginger White. Ginger is a female profile who's in a bunch of anti-scam groups. Ginger White had to prove to Facebook she was real through ID. After about a month, she did prove this. She was in Bishal's group originally and tried to get back in. She reapplied to be part of Nigerian Scammers Get Off Facebook. This was a non-scam profile. It's never approached anybody for money, which is what a scammer would do. This is a profile that says it's in the U.S. So Bishal commented that he wanted to get back into the group. Even though Ginger White was clearly a female, he wanted to get in the group. DeWitt commented, he wants to learn our secrets. Participating much, are you, DeWitt? Somebody asked if Ginger White was a scammer. Bishal answered yes. Again, there's no proof. Nobody can come forward. I promise you, nobody out there can come forward and say that this profile has ever tried to seek money or gifts from them. Nobody can do that. So it's not a scammer. Never scam anybody. That is a fact. This is the message Bishal sent to Ginger White. Scammers, all your fake profiles will be gone. Dirty monkey maggot, go get a job and stop stealing from good-hearted women. It would appear that Ginger White was another on the Bishal hit list. And it would appear that DeWitt was once again doing Bishal's dirty work.
Yeah, because they're working off an emotional stance and not a common sense stance.
And DeWitt is just racking up numbers and not checking on anything. So Bishal recently bragged that she had an anti-scamming group removed. A full group removed. Bishal bragged about this on her page. Because somebody posted the page, like, yeah, I just had a group removed. And by the way, I have screenshots of all this. I have the emails. So don't think I don't until the feds come and take everything. The group Military Romance Scams. Military Romance Scams, which was endorsed by Army's OPSEC. The same people who endorsed us. The real Army. The big Army.
The guy with the guns.
Yeah, 2 months ago. They were endorsed 2 months ago. Was taken off last week and just reinstated. Also taken offline was the profile of Ashley Frank, who is the admin of this site. Bishal knew Frank was the anti-scam profile for Holly Demons. I have permission to use her name. It was her. Because what a lot of these baiters do is, because this is dangerous stuff, they don't put their fake names out there. They're not targeting innocent people.
Right.
They're taking the heat off of victims to waste their time and learn more and find more and then eventually get them deleted properly after people have been educated. If you just do mass deletion, you can't educate people. You can't warn the victims on their friends list.
Right.
You can't learn from them. You're nullifying it. So anyway, Bishal and Demons were not on good terms. Last week, the Ashley Frank profile disappeared from Facebook. The profile's not been reinstated. Another one of Bishal's hit list. So we got Beggin' Steel, who she thinks is me, Ginger White, who she thinks is a scammer, and Ashley Frank slash Holly Demons, who she had it out with a year ago. So here's the thing. Once DeWitt shows up, Bishal's enemies start disappearing. Nobody was disappearing before DeWitt showed up.
Yeah.
So it would appear DeWitt was now the hired goon for Bishal. It appears DeWitt, who is tasked with removing only fake profiles of officers, decided to target all fake military profiles instead of just officers, and quite possibly civilians as well. I believe DeWitt's heart was in the right place.
But she had no guidelines.
It's more than that. Well, you're right. She wasn't trained properly. She wasn't trained properly by the Army.
Right.
She did disregard orders.
Yeah.
Because it was supposed to be just for officers. She lacks good judgment and is too lazy to vet these profiles herself. She's too lazy.
Mm.
So she has Bishal and her goons do the dirty work.
Right.
And Bishal's running around bragging about all these numbers that they're ragging out. So Bishal's all started to target fake FBI profiles. This is the new thing now. The fake FBI profiles and everything. Nobody asked her to do that.
I was just going to say, was she cleared by the Army? Apparently she wasn't.
If she was, she wasn't supposed to be. There's no way the Army could ever do that. It could be DeWitt. I don't have proof of that, so I'm not going to say that. So we don't know how many real profiles have disappeared. But here's the thing. Facebook is a publicly traded company which has turned over profile recognition in these matters to the Army, a.k.a. our government. The Army turned it over to somebody who has no training and lacks judgment. That person turned it over to one of the worst anti-scramming groups on the Internet run by Bishal. Bishal turned it over to a bunch of women who have not been healed after they were scammed and are still angry and were never properly trained.
Right. Some people are saying they're having a problem hearing us.
I don't know why. We're on every. I don't know why, guys.
Right. Just try to for people that can't find us. Just try to go to another affiliate.
Give them a film.
Go to Clutch and Wiggle. Try Clutch and Wiggle.
Is there a lot of that?
Yeah. Yeah. People are saying we should repeat the last 5 minutes of what he was saying.
How can that be? I don't understand.
I don't understand what's going on.
I mean, I'll have to listen to this later on.
Right.
I don't understand how it's fading in
but
and out.
But the Tri-Club, we're hearing the Clutch and Wiggle. Try Clutch and Wiggle.
You want me to go over that again, Joe?
Let's see. It wouldn't hurt if people could hear.
All right. So, like basically what I was saying is, are these people listening yet? You want me to give it a couple of minutes?
Consensus.
Joe's going to the group. We haven't had an issue with this much tech in a long time.
Know.
It's really been a problem tonight, which is a shame. But it's not usually like this. But what are you going to do? And you know, we don't have our middle person here to help run this while we carry the show. So it's been an issue. So is it down all over the place?
I think it's in one or two places.
Oh, it's down in one or two places. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Here's what. Okay, good. The armies enter. This is from Diva Donnie, because we were talking about AKO before.
Mm-hmm.
Army Knowledge Online. The Army's Enterprise Portal. We're fine on the India Authority.
Okay. So. Also, Clutch and Wiggle is saying is good.
Okay. So I don't know. The Army's Enterprise Portal, Army Knowledge Online, is a primary component of the Army Knowledge Management, AKM, strategy and the Army Transformation. As a single point of entry into a robust and scalable knowledge management system, AKO is strategically changing the way the Army does business, clearly, by enabling greater knowledge sharing among Army communities. AKM fosters improved decision dominance by commanders and business stewards in the battle space, organizations, and Army's mission process. I guess except in this case, where though it was clearly taken away. All right, I will repeat basically what I said before. But just to reiterate, I'm not going to go over the whole thing. Basically, there was a list of people that were enemies of Bishel, including an anti-scamming website. Mm-hmm. I was on that list. Yay. That's why she took off Beg and Steal. Ginger White was on that list for some unknown reason. But whatever. Holly Demons was on that list, so she lost her profile, Ashley Frank, which she knew was a fake profile. These people started disappearing. These people were not posed as soldiers. They didn't look as soldiers. They didn't look as generals. They didn't look as captains. They didn't look as sergeants. They didn't look as grunts. These were regular people profiles. Gone. Gone. And DeWitt even commented about the Ginger White one on in Bishel's group. I guess where she thought she was safe. Here's the thing about the internet. There's spies everywhere. you can't hide. Bishel, you don't have a mole. You have an infestation. I would trust nobody if I were you.
Yeah.
You are not liked, and this is why. You're a goon.
A goon and with that, a goon with not much information, and she's a bully.
She is a bully. She has bullied people. So let me summarize this again, and then we will start to discuss this, I guess, and then we'll move on. So here we go. Facebook, which is a publicly traded company, has turned over the profile recognition in these matters to the Army, a.k.a. our government. The Army turned it over to somebody who has no training and lacks judgment. They didn't give her the proper guidelines. They didn't train her. Say, go at it. The person turned it over, and by the way, the DeWitt was offered help by people who do know what they're doing. That person turned it over to one of the worst anti-scamming groups on the internet, run by Bishel, where if you had asked around, you would have been told, I would not go there. Go to Soldiers Against Scammers, which is one run by Rich Munson. Go to Military Imposter Awareness, you know, which is an OPSEC endorsed one. There's places where you could go. They'll be happy to train you up real quick. Mm. Bishel turned it over to a bunch of women who are still very angry about being scaled. I mean, these people haven't healed yet.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very emotional. They're running with clouded judgment. So it was turned it over to like an angry mob. And all what the angry mob collected was sent up the chain to Bishel, who doesn't know what she's doing. Bishel sent it to DeWitt, who doesn't know what she's doing. DeWitt sent it over to Facebook for deletion. 300 profiles or more a day, gone. No vetting. Big government. Army targeting U.S. civilians. Illegal. What do you say, Joe?
I say the Army, does the Army have a clue that there were people that were taken off that were not scammers?
There were concerns. Let's just say I've had discussions. I've had discussions. The Army was alarmed.
The Army was alarmed.
The person I was talking to was alarmed, but he didn't take it to where it needed to go. He said,
this person was in the Army and was alarmed and did not notify the proper parties.
Told me to. And I'm like, and that's when I'm like, you know, I could do it as a concerned citizen. And that's when I was like, you know what? Screw this.
So nobody has, I'm sorry, nobody is informed the Army, nobody in a capacity has informed the Army where the Army has turned away from it, or nobody is afraid, people are afraid to tell the Army.
I don't know.
That's the key to this whole thing.
No, I mean, listen, the crimes have been committed, but why is it somebody, why if I alert you, if you work in the deli counter of the supermarket and there's a fire in produce, instead of telling me to tell the manager of the produce department, wouldn't you get the fire extinguisher and the manager and try to put it out and leave me out of the equation?
Maybe these people are afraid to tell the Army. And you can't.
Well, I'm not.
And the Army, if the Army runs the produce department, but they're not in the store, and nobody's telling them the damn produce department is on, you can't go, well, it's the Army's fault because they didn't have a clue the damn thing was on fire. The point of the proof here, or the point of bone of contention here, is with the people that, you know, people, you know, say, well, this is that and this is this. Did you notify the party that would be most concerned about this? Well, no. That's where we are right now.
Well, like I told you, I was tasked with doing that as a concerned citizen, and that's where I kind of, like, pulled away from the situation. That was the last straw for me. It's like, man, I've done everything I can do to help you wrangle in your girl, DeWitt, and get her out of this, or pull her back and train her. I'm not going to hold your hand. I've given you the information I had up until that point.
Well,
it's not my job.
Well, and I also, I don't think Facebook knows what's going on and been fully informed. I don't think the Army knows what's going on and has been fully informed. But there's this whole thing involving Facebook and the Army, and people are out there going, well, I'm not going to tell. It doesn't seem that there is a whole cohesiveness. There is, in a way, but unity in this community.
Because you're just it's the running of the bulls. You're letting bulls go into China shop. There's been no streamlining, no education. There's nothing going on here. There's nobody who knows what they're doing anything. DeWitt is just looking up at the numbers and patting herself on the back. Bishop's just looking at the numbers
because
and patting himself.
What it boils down to, and this is my humble opinion, folks in the chat and stuff like that. This is my humble opinion. You have people that feel wrong. They've been wronged. They're trying to get that sense of commanding themselves back. And to do this, they're running these rooms, and they feel the whatever was taken away from them. They feel the power that was taken away from them. And it revolves around sometimes not doing the right thing. You had the power to go after scammers. Hey, if some people have to be taken down, well, that's part of it because we've been wronged. And if a couple of people are taken out, we're actually getting some scammers and this and that and the other thing. Does the Army know? No. Well, who's going to tell the Army? No, I don't know. So, meanwhile, the job is never getting done.
I think you're giving the Army too much of a pass.
Has anybody talked to the Army, and has the Army made a statement on this?
No, no.
And how could
because we're not supposed to know?
But
I'm not supposed to know this. Stupid DeWitt goes out public. Goes out publicly talking to people. We're not supposed to know this. By Rich Munson's account, there's about 50 or so of these trusted agents at least running around. Who knows what they're doing?
Right.
Because they got, I'm sure they got
but
the
if
same.
If I give you, all right, for example, you tell Pip and I to do something. I need you to do this, that, and the other thing. And let's say selling revenue for the show or something like that, and we go out and we're telling them that the show is going to do more than what, you know, we promised to do and this, that, and the other thing, and you, the show is getting slandered because of that. All right, and people know about what Pip and I are doing, but people are blaming you. How the hell are you supposed to be blamed if you don't know what the hell is going on and nobody's alerting you to it?
How would I be blamed? Because if I did not give you the proper guidelines how to do it, if I did give you the proper guidelines, then maybe it's not my fault.
But if you're in a situation where you don't know what the guidelines are and you're trusting the person, but nobody's giving feedback back. Look, I don't know.
Big Army did not give proper guidelines to the PAOs. PAO, Kelly DeWitt, which is our PAO in this case, had a loose set of guidelines. She said, the guidelines are loose, I'm going to go beyond that. She said it in the email. She said it in the email. And it's her best judgment, acting on behalf of the Army. She's acting on behalf of the Army. We pay her tax dollars to go to a bunch of civilians who she doesn't know, who she hasn't vetted, and just rack up all these numbers. And you can't pass the buck on the Army, and you can't pass the buck on Facebook. Facebook should have said, hell no, take it to the press. We're not letting you do our job.
Maybe they feel that it's a government an entity. Maybe they just felt that, you know, the Army could handle it better. And also,
that's a problem. That's a problem. If they feel the Army can handle their product,
because
where they have
probably figure that if it's going to be done on soldiers, they would have more information on the soldiers in the Army database than Facebook.
I just told you the easiest way to do that. You don't need to know about a soldier. Where do you say you're living? Afghanistan. Where's your IP address from the email that you used to register your account? You have to have an email address. That's part of registering for a profile. It says Malaysia. Delete. Delete! It's step one. You're full of crap. We're not letting you on. It's step one. They have all the information. Facebook could do this by themselves. The Army could have gone, listen, we're having a real issue with this. We need you to do a better job. Facebook could have said, okay, we're on it.
And because of this, and I think the reason why, is that, look, this is what we do. This is our thing, okay? In our world, this is our thing. Outside of this, okay, You hear about it. It's coming more to the forefront right now, but not as much.
You don't think Facebook knows about fake profiles?
I'm sure they do.
You know how hard they're deleting real people.
But I think what somebody said on there is that the more Facebook profiles, they're more advertising revenue they can bring in, more enticing to advertisers to bring it in. So I don't think, I don't think it's in Facebook's best interest to start knocking all these people off. And I'm just saying in that sense.
Well, you don't
I'm
want,
not
you,
saying it's the right thing to do, Dad.
Well, Facebook, all these social media networks are based on trust. That's why people put all this stuff out there. It's foolish to do, but that's why you do it. You trust them. So if that's how people get scammed. They trust somebody they met on Facebook or Match.com or whoever. It is in Facebook's best interest to keep people trusting them. So if they can eliminate scammers, and you know, they should get rid of them. You'll have more. Your advertisements are worth more if I can trust you.
We're going the assumption that that this is the forefront. I would.
Facebook knows. If I know about it, Facebook knows. It's their business to know, Joe. It's their business. Don't make an excuse for them.
I'm not making
an excuse. And it's the military's a business to protect soldiers and civilians.
I'm not making an excuse for them. Let's look at two sides of the coin where this could try to be resolved if we worked in Facebook. Zuckerberg. All right, Zuckerberg, okay? Zuckerberg was in the paper today where he just donated millions of dollars to a cause. Okay.
Is this true or are you making this up?
No, it's not. It's in the paper. All right.
Is it in Wikipedia?
No, it's not Wikipedia. Stupid. It's in the paper. All right. Zucker, and he seems like a person that is a generally nice person who cares about other people. If somebody worked at Facebook that was concerned would go to him and go, look, we have a lot of problem with the scammers. I would take an aggressive stance and make an announcement. We're taking an aggressive stance with scammers and have people specifically to check profiles and do that. I mean, if he wants to.
So you don't think when Big Army comes knocking, you don't think he would take more notice and be a little bit more hands-on of his company?
If he's delegating people to do it.
Well, somebody there screwed up. Somebody at Facebook screwed up. The Army screwed up. Kelly DeWitt has screwed up. They're targeting non-scammers. And like I said, they've probably taken off real soldiers by mistake. Why doesn't she reveal those lists? She's got a real soldier who's going to help her. Why doesn't she reveal that
list?
Because
she's in a power position. It is feeding her ego. It's feeding her power.
Well, then the Army made a big mistake. When they hired her to do the job.
Hey, look, I fired and hired people, man.
They've known her for years. She's an Army veteran. She wasn't there for a couple of years. She was in a position of power.
But has anybody gone to the Army and said this is going on?
Yes! Me!
Yes, you went to the Army and you told them.
Yes, I did!
And what was their response?
Oh, this is not good. This is illegal.
What steps have they taken?
None! DeWitt's still doing this today! That's why I'm doing this. They haven't taken a damn thing. They haven't pulled her in. I told them the evidence I have. I never showed them. I told them they never asked me for it. Told them the evidence I have, not the most recent evidence, but I said, this is what's going on. This is my concern. Their concern was, wow, they've already gone above their mandate because they're going after soldiers, people opposing as soldiers that aren't officers. That's not what the mandate was. They are the ones who told me targeting civilians was illegal. They were concerned. They didn't do anything about it. That's why I'm doing this show.
All right.
Okay.
But before you mentioned that the Army wasn't aware of it.
No, I never said that. You said that.
But you didn't correct me.
There's so much to correct.
But you didn't correct me. That's why I was with that. You did not correct me 10 minutes ago.
I told the Army. This is going on. I told them.
Okay, all right, because when I mentioned that if the Army was alerted to this, you didn't say it was. But you have
I gave the Army the example of Bishel trying to get Raymond S. Chandler's real profile off of Facebook. At the very least, somebody should have gotten in contact with the Witz people and go, you know what, you need to stop working in that Bishel group. At the very least. But she's still in there. She's still racking up her numbers. If somebody is listening with a national media outlet, you might want to report this.
That's true. I mean, if the Army's not taking steps on that.
Everybody listening should be concerned that Big Brother is now infiltrating a publicly traded company, which you will put your lives on, and your profile could be deleted because Bishel doesn't like you, or one of Bishel's henchmen doesn't like you. That's the problem, because DeWitt isn't doing anything to stop it. She doesn't even know what she's looking at.
And it goes back to the improper training, and so on and so forth with all of that.
Yes. Yes. Improper training, laziness, spite. It's all there. Everything we pride ourselves
sounds
on.
Sounds like a story. It's all there.
It's everything we pride ourselves on this show, Joe.
I got you. All right. So now, because basically with everything going on, the whole scenario kind of got a little bit confusing. But now that we kind of get a clearer picture of that, That's the thing where the Army's got to be called on the carpet, because basically they were informed and they've done nothing. Now, how long ago was the Army notified on this, Davin?
A couple of weeks ago. A week or two ago.
All righty. Because basically with the Army, obviously it's a big bureaucratic entity.
Like I told you, the directions I was given, which really just made me throw up my hands, was you can contact the WITS supervisor or whoever it was. I have the email somewhere.
And who told you this?
A person in the Pentagon. And you can reach out to them as a concerned citizen. And I was like, are you kidding me? I got to do this as a concerned citizen? When as a concerned citizen, I told you what's going on. That's where you need to take the bungle. You know what? I know this is not in my jurisdiction, for lack of a better word. I know I shouldn't be doing this, but this is such a problem. We need to nip this in the bud. I will handle this.
And I get a funny feeling it's interdepartment nonsense that does go on in the Army.
I'm sure.
That goes on there. Well,
I'm sure.
I don't want to say, you know what? I don't want to tell you. You know what? You go. Because there's something, it just seems something on that. Like if it's like a way to get around a problem. Like, you know, why don't you go tell him? Don't go direct. Why don't you go and you tell him, blah, blah, because maybe he feels more might get done that way. That's just a hypothesis, you know, just
you know
for
what?
One reason.
Here's the deal. I have invested, other people have contributed to this, have invested way too many hours on this. We do not get paid for it. I have given...
Hadn't noticed. Kidding.
I have shared a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
With the Army to try to catch them up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
It's why we've been endorsed by them. It's why we have a good relationship with them, because I try to give them information that I have that they can use to protect their men and women and civilians from being scammed. When I give you this and you kind of drop the ball, then it makes me think nothing's going to get done.
But it's getting, you know, the reason I asked you that question, how long ago you asked them? I mean, you're talking about the Army, and you're talking about...
It's a phone call.
It's
a phone call. And the answer should be...
Have you ever watched them try to get things done with I-Corps on MASH?
But
you know, that's the way...
You know what? Here's the answer. Here's how you cover your ass. Because you know what? Thank you. I'll take care of this. It could take a while. I'll take care. If I hear that, I'm done. It's out of my hands. There's been other things that I passed on where once I give it to them, you know, where people have given me information about scammers that they were talking to who might be linked to actual terrorists, and I forwarded that over to the military and everything. Mm-hmm. Go, listen, I don't know if this is actionable intel or not. Terrorism is mentioned. Check it out. There's no follow-up from me because it's out of my hands. I don't expect to know.
So when you spoke to the person at the Pentagon, what did they tell you leaving off?
They were concerned about this.
Okay, they were concerned. All right, great.
This is illegal.
It's illegal. What else did they say?
Here, contact this person.
All right.
As a concerned citizen.
And you contacted that person?
No, because I was done. I was done. This has been after multiple conversations.
Did you ask why I have to contact this person and why can't you handle it?
Because it wasn't in his department. It would be bad for him. That type of thing. Not word for word, but basically that type of thing.
So he's covering his ass?
Probably. I don't know. Who's covering mine? Nobody. I don't care. It's right. People need to know this. Nobody else had this story. We had this story. Why do I know this? That's the problem. Why do I know this?
Because you're dealing with a you're dealing with
No, I'm saying nobody's supposed to know about this. That's my trusted agent. You're not very trusted if you're blabbing everywhere, emailing people. How trusted are you? You shouldn't be trusted.
It's like everybody.
You're an untrustworthy agent.
Guy's fearing for his job.
Maybe it's a check.
Girl's fearing for his job. You know, and this information, it probably now you're putting this person is putting their ass on the line. If he goes to it, now he's giving you this information, but who's going to cover your ass? And nothing gets done.
Nothing gets done.
Nothing gets done.
Think something will get done now?
I would give it a month.
I think we'll be hearing.
Well, no, you know.
I think we're going to be hearing about it before then. What was the chat saying? Anything?
Let's see.
Army issues. Davin, I posted a link on the chat. All right, there's a Crimson Cat posted something in the chat.
Military.com Daily News 2014, the February 9th. Army issues fake website scamming warning.
Yeah, they're working on that. All right. Well, I think our show is almost over, Joe.
Yes.
Well, is there anything? Just scroll through the chat real quick, see if there's anything. If they have opinions in there, they usually have a lot to say. Maybe nobody's there anymore.
No, the people have been very patient with us because they realize we don't have Pip tonight, and I'm trying. You know, we're trying to have a two-way conversation. It's tough to monitor that.
No, I mean the first priority is the show. I'm sorry,
yes,
kids.
Exactly. Let's see. Damon and Joe, troops is the generic for military service member. Troops is the generic term for military service members, not soldiers.
All right, really. Really? Is that what your big contribution is in the chat? That?
Well, I'm just reading.
I'm not you. I'm not scolding you.
No, but I'm just reading. Randomly.
I'm scolding whoever wrote that.
Yeah. The military is known for scammers for years. They have posted several articles warning troops about internet safety. Warning doesn't help, so it only reaches the troops.
We've already cut a PSA. We were asked before this came out to cut another PSA.
I think the Army's opinion on this, from what I'm seeing, we've done PSAs, they'll issue warnings and stuff like that. I think the Army's mandate, for better or worse on this, is look, we got a war to run, okay? We got logistics, we got this. We will get information from people, and then we will issue warnings to our troops or service members on this. But due to maybe budgetary constraints, maybe due to lack of manpower right now because they've cut back on the military, we could only do a certain amount to handle this problem. We don't have the time, the money, or resources to get into this any further than issuing mandates, collecting the information.
But they took a more proactive approach. They just did it half-assed. Don't do anything if you're going to do it half-assed. Don't send somebody who's not trained to start. Because if one real soldier profile gets taken off, or one real civilian profile gets taken offline because of these actions, it's one too many. You know? And you can't enforce the law by committing a crime.
But
that's what they're doing.
And you're talking to a bureaucratic agency which runs, and the military runs militarily, where we can only do this. This is what we're doing. We'll do this. We'll do this.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that when the military gives orders how to take a hill, you think there's specific instructions? You think they're trained before they start to take a hill?
There's a big difference of taking a hill then and looking into the skin. Now, I'm not discrediting this, but I'm saying...
You kind of are.
No, I'm not, because basically people... I mean, look, people get hurt and can get killed.
This is tied to terrorism. They know this is tied to terrorism. This money, some
of
this...
But not in the extent... And I'm not downplaying this, but it's, when you give me this example, it's you're downplaying an attack on a field of battle compared to something that's linked to terrorism.
Well, how do you think we're fighting on that field of battle?
I understand that, but basically on the priority... And I'm talking about a big bureaucratic agency.
I think you're making excuses for everybody.
I'm not making excuses.
What's your excuse for DeWitt? No. What's your excuse for DeWitt? What's her excuse?
I'm not making excuses.
What's her excuse?
I'm not... Basically,
is she wrong?
Yes, she's doing sloppy work and she's big mouth. But what I'm telling you is, and you're in an agency, you're in a, and I'm not defending them. I'm telling you how it's like saying it's going to snow tomorrow. Well, how much snow are we going to get? Well, I don't know. What you can't, I don't know, because basically
you do know because there's a meteorologist who tells you.
He only knows a certain amount. But what I'm telling you is, the Army might have parameters on how far they're going to go on this certain thing,
and she exceeded them.
And she, but they, you know, and they're going to go, all right, well, we've only had the resources for this, and nobody's, you know, and now you've got a bureaucratic thing where there's another person that could interview, but he's trying to save his job. So he's trying to go in, instead of somebody representing the Army, they want a private individual to go in and do that. They're kind of passing the buck. I'm not giving them a pass. I'm telling you the way it is. Some things, life isn't fair, and things are done the way they're done. Okay.
That's not an excuse when laws are being broken.
There's not an excuse. You know what? There's a lot of things that go on in this world that there's.
And we're reporting one of them.
But I'm telling you, I'm not discrediting this. But you asked me, and I'm explaining it to you. My thoughts on this. Is it right? No. But what I'm telling you is that to them, in what they've in their capacity right now, on how they're expending their manpower, how they're expending their money, they're only going to do a certain amount, and they're only going to do a look into it. A certain way.
You don't know that's the case. You don't know what the budget is.
It's my opinion. But you asked my opinion. It's not my opinion. I'm not stating you the fact. You asked what my opinion is, and this is what my assumption is on what I've seen with budgetary cuts. What I've seen.
Has the Army ever found? Has the Army that you are aware of ever farmed out responsibility to untrained people they don't know?
It could be
that I said that you know of in history that's ever been reported.
That I've known of.
A story in history class that you've ever heard where they had untrained civilians do their work. I can't think of one. Untrained civilians with questionable character.
I could think of certain issues where in a bureaucratic operation like that, they lost... There was an operation where they were trying to... And I'm talking off the top of my head, but there was an operation. I think they were trying to... pacify warlords in either in Iraq, and what they did was they had millions of dollars that they brought with them to Iraq to pacify the warlords, to try to make their infrastructure better and try to gain their trust with
us. I think that was the CIA.
The CIA, they lost the money. They have no clue where that money went.
And now these people are running all over Facebook.
But what I'm telling you is they had no...
We covered that story.
We covered the... They don't know where it is. So really, let me...
Maybe it was
they're
the
trying
Army.
To pacify warlords. They're trying to do this. They're trying to build an infrastructure. They got the money to do it, and they lost the money, and they don't know where the hell it went. And you're questioning me on
so that brings that brings me back to my original point. Now, hold on, your point brings me back to my original point. What the hell is Facebook thinking, letting them in the front door? That's my point.
Maybe they were strong armed. Maybe they're in a position where they're not going to go against the U.S. Army.
Now everybody knows.
Yeah.
Now everybody knows. Good job. And you know what? It's all because of one big mouth, Kelly DeWitt, because she's so bad. At what she does, she puts herself out there to strangers and trusts the wrong people and is in charge of deleting people that she doesn't even know and has done no research on herself.
All right, and this is another story of Joe's the world and it's just the way it is. If you were the person that made the decision to have her and didn't do the follow-through, it's going to be your ass on the line. Could be a demotion, could be loss of pay, could be loss of rank, could be loss of pension. Are you going to put yourself out there? I mean, look, you're talking about a human element, and you're talking about people that are covering their asses at Facebook trying to get more keep their profiles and get more advertising revenue. And you're talking about somebody in the Army in a bureaucratic thing that doesn't want to risk their rank or what their pension is going to be. And then, you know, and then you've got another person that's so emotionally involved trying to get vindication of where she's been wrong doing this. I'm saying all this is wrong, but I'm telling you, this is the world and this is the way it is. So who's going to go and who's going to go further with the Army? Is it going to be you? Is it going to be me? Who's it going to be?
What? Who's going to go further with the Army?
To bring this up. Are you going to be the person that goes to this person that you were...
I think I just did.
Okay.
I think I just did. I think I told everybody.
Okay.
What, is that wrong?
No.
Should we not?
No.
Should we have kept it from the public?
No.
That laws are being broken?
No.
Should we have kept it from the public that are that big government? I mean, as a Republican, you should hate this. You're a conservative. You hate big government. Now they're inside your corporations. You hate this shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one who's supposed to be, it's cool. Government knows what they're doing. You should hate this with the core of every core of your body.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Yeah. I'm not thrilled about it, but I'm telling you the way it is. I'm telling you the
way. That's an acceptance.
That's the way the world works. That's the way it is.
So it's acceptable if everybody breaks the law.
It's not acceptable, but I'm telling you the way. I'm just telling you the way it is. I'm not defending any. I'm not defending any of this. I'm telling you. You asked my opinion, and I'm just telling you this is the way. This is the way the world is. And I'm not saying should we stop it. Yeah, we could try, but who's gonna? You know.
Well, I think if this is gonna, I think if this gets out,
yeah.
I mean, this is for record. We're certainly gonna distribute this.
Yes.
I think we have people listening tonight. Yes. Yeah, I think this is going
to
stop.
Somebody needs to be asked questions. Somebody's got to be, all right, so you're looking at me, well, this is wrong, Joe. It's right. Right, okay, so let's ask questions. Somebody's got to call Facebook on the carpet. Somebody's got to call the Army on the carpet and find out why this person was allowed to
yep.
do this. Why?
Nobody's we need a hearing. We need one of those great old congressional hearings.
Could be.
We need. I don't see how DeWitt keeps her job.
I don't think she should.
I don't see how Bishel is allowed to keep any sort of profile on Facebook. I don't see how people can follow her.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, I don't control that thing. Listen, I think heads are going to roll. I don't think it's completely out of the question that I get called in.
Right.
But I have evidence of everything. I have screenshots. I have the emails. So bring it.
There you go.
Bring it. I mean, listen, I would rather be doing dick jokes. But this needs to be out there.
And there's one person... There's one person that should be brought in on this. The one person that can rectify this and get this done.
I'm waiting.
Susie Southwest.
It's a long way to go for that.
Well, I figured.
I knew something was coming. Maybe Evan Spencer could sort it out.
I figured you'd work quicker on the comeback. And go, and who, Joe? No.
I was just watching because I knew. I was expecting something profound.
Don't fucking work with me, would you?
I'm sorry, Joe.
But Morgan brings up a point, you know, with all these people. They need to get past their hatred. They really do a lot of, you know, these people.
Boy, I feeds me. My contempt of Joe Curry is what makes this show possible. Yeah. No, but that's what it is. These people aren't healed. You can't look at this, and we got to get out of here, but you can't look at this objectively if you're still full of emotion.
No.
I think people come to me because they know in this community, because they know I'm objective. I'm not fueled by emotion.
Right.
You know, I haven't been scammed except for the people that I've met through these places. I don't know people that have been scammed, so it doesn't really affect me. So when some people want to rush to judgment, I can say, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some more evidence
right.
and everything. You know, you got to use discretion. But I just felt that we had so much that we had to get this out there.
And it needs to get out there because there's no accountability. There's no accountability chain.
No, that's the problem.
That's the problem.
There's no accountability. And they're just running wild. They're disregarding orders. They're not trained properly. They're targeting civilians. They don't know what they're doing. They're joking about it as DeWitt did mm-hmm. with the Ginger White thing. It's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a problem for Facebook. It's a problem for the military.
Right.
It's not my problem.
Nope.
So
there you go.
Although it could be my problem.
Could I have some soda?
No. You've been quite contentious this whole evening.
It makes you thirsty.
Christ, you're a pain in the ass with
not
Pepsi.
A pain in the ass, I got thirsty.
No, not about the soda.
Oh.
Just in general. I was going to say you're a pain in the ass when Pip's not here.
Yeah.
It's been a very stressful night.
Yeah. We got through it, though.
We did. Ay, ay, ay. The tech was a bear tonight.
Holy
Thank you guys for hanging out. And
yeah, thank you for being patient. I'm sorry I wasn't in the chat room as much as we usually are, that the pips usually are. Basically, it's just Davin and I, and I'm trying to keep focused on our conversation and what you guys are doing. So I apologize. Pip will be back next week, and you know, we can monitor a little bit better. So, but thank you for sticking with us so much.
A lot of things in the chat tonight.
Let's see. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Davin, we can hear you talking in the background. Okay, I'm talking in the microphone. I don't know why you can hear me. I don't even know what that means. I got to stop looking at this thing. I keep hoping that'll be something important. Yeah. Oh, Mac Daddy are coming in. Jim from Mac Daddy. Interesting news, buddy. Thanks, pal.
We try to inform.
We do. That's our Canadian/Filipino affiliate.
Yes.
The servers are in the Philippines. The man is in Canada. We are in parts unknown.
as long as the stuff's working.
But, yeah, we really need you guys to get this out there and tell everybody where you heard it. I want to thank the people that helped me, fed me information, and helped contribute to this report. They are certainly as important as anybody on this show to what you just heard. I hope you were outraged, and I hope you spread this around. We'll get this online tomorrow. All right? What's the matter, Joe? Everything all right in there?
I'm just everybody's signing out. I'm just wishing everybody a great week and thanking
them. But don't sign out. We sometimes we make the funny with the sponsors.
Not signing out. Some people are leaving right now.
I know. I'm telling them, not you.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I'm telling them. I'm